Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 88 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou, and we have to apologize for being so late on this episode. I had some
plumbing issues,
as Tony was so happy to share with everybody. And when I say plumbing issues, I mean at my house, not personally. Thanks for clarifying that in our page on Facebook.
I didn't leave people thinking.
Guessing?
They were.
Speaking of our Facebook page. Yeah, no. Do we have any mail from anyone?
Wow, you just want to jump right in.
Well, what else?
Well, let's mention first of all that we were ready to do the podcast last week. Actually, I was already out here. We were at lunch.
We had lunch. We were just about to start. And that's when I got the call that changed everything.
Yeah, that your wife was up to her knees in dookie.
No, fortunately, it was not that bad. But it was bad enough that it cost a ton of money to fix, which I'm very unhappy about. And let's just hope it stays okay now.
Right.
So, there you go. But yeah, so there may be some things in the outline that are a little outdated.
That's why I say that.
Yeah. So we'll try to skip over those, but...
But there may be one or two that squeeze through that are a little old.
Right. So we apologize in advance for that. So what about that mail?
Sure. Lori states...
Hey, Lori.
Hi, guys. Got an iPad for my birthday and found an app called Puffin that will play Flash. It was only 99 cents. Still trying to figure it out, so all the iPad updates and info are greatly appreciated.
Wouldn't it be funny if Puffin was actually secretly an Apple app? And then now they're just charging a dollar for everyone to be able to run Flash on the iPad. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
I want to tell Lori about an iPad app that I absolutely love. It's called Zite, Z-I-T-E. Or is it Zite?
Anyway, it's Zite.
Perhaps it's Zite.
What does it do?
And none of those make sense, though. It is kind of like you create your own magazine. I will show you here. So what you do is, like, when you first run it, you pick which categories you want to be the sections of the magazine.
Okay.
Hold on. It's updating right now. And then when you go through and read articles, you can decide, like, it customizes to your taste.
Okay.
So suppose I go into, let's go into gaming here.
Okay.
And so it shows.
Is this a free app, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
So it takes all, you know, it goes from, what is an RSS reader, but,
right,
you know, with lots of cool graphics.
Sure.
And you really tailor to the things that you like. So suppose, see this thing on PlayStation.
There's I see that.
Article about PlayStation. So I click on that. Shows me the whole article. And then on the right, it takes all the elements of that are in the article, whether it be PlayStation or Half-Life or whatever.
Right.
And then you say, I want to hear more about those. So then it specifically seeks those things out.
Gotcha.
So after using this, you know, more and more.
The more you use it, the better it
knows what you want to read.
To your taste.
And you can even type in things. Like I could type in Chicago, so it'll find items on
That's
Chicago.
Pretty cool.
Like, especially in the categories I have.
Right.
And it's really a lot of fun. And you can spend a lot of time on it and really tailor it to the things that you
That's
like.
That's really cool.
In fact, a lot of the things, in fact, I don't think we have that here. We'll try to find it before we get to the movie segment. But remember that thing I sent you, the 20 things about the Indiana Jones movies
yes.
that you may not know? I
yeah.
got that from here.
Oh, really?
So I was able to just immediately, you can post on Facebook one of the articles or you can email it.
That's like, really cool.
It's really cool. And it's free.
Yeah, that's a good idea for an RSS reader because usually you have to go and find stuff first and then add it to your reader, you know, and then filter through whatever
stuff.
And
it's pretty slick. I mean, it's magazine style.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool from what I can see from across the table anyway. But
yeah. So
congrats, Lori, on your birthday iPad. Yeah. I know my wife loves her birthday iPad, so hopefully.
Is
yours engraved?
Checked.
I got a nice little engraving on the back of my wife's.
Yeah.
For free, you know. It says, don't drop this or you're not getting another one. I'm just kidding.
I have not checked out the Puffin app, though, Lori, so I apologize.
Well, you're not a smoker.
Right. I also got an email.
By the way, I don't know if you've noticed this because I can't remember. I don't think you've ever gone through the front door of our new place. But the previous owners put a giant sticker on the front door. That's a picture of a penguin, and it says, no Puffin.
What?
Because obviously they didn't want people smoking in their house. Oh. So they put a no Puffin sticker on the door. But I can't get it off. It's like I've tried those razor blade things. I've tried that Goo Gone. It's like hermetically sealed to the
wow.
door or something. It's terrible.
It's fused
it
into
is,
the
it's
door.
It is fused.
I also got an email from Dorian. He sent it like right after our last episode, so some of it might be a little dated. But
now you ran into him in real life, right?
I did.
Yeah.
And he really loves the podcast.
Thank you, Dorian. We love it too.
Talked about it quite a bit. And he's actually turning me on to...
Excuse me?
No, I mean, he was telling me about shows he's been watching on Netflix or Hulu. He's going on and on about damages and...
That's Glenn Close,
I wish I had all the time in the world to just check out
everything. That's Glenn Close?
That show.
I don't really...
No, but you know what? There's other people on it. Like, Ted Danson's on it. I like him. Mm-hmm. And then there was a season that Martin Short, I think he even won an Emmy for.
Really?
Is on it. In a dramatic role.
Wait, how long is it?
Three seasons, maybe?
What? Yeah. I thought last year was the first year.
If last year was 2 years or 3 years ago. Maybe there were two seasons. I don't know. I've never watched it.
Yeah, me either.
But, actually, he talks about some of them.
You know, and I have to say, just going back to something you just said, I like Martin Short. Uh-huh. I've always liked Martin Short. I mean,
me too. I've never not liked Martin.
Clunky kind of things. But
I feel bad that he hasn't had better movies.
Nobody can take Interspace away from him, though.
Right.
That's a great movie.
I feel the same. I like Dana Carvey, too. I feel the same about Dana Carvey.
Oh, not me.
You don't like Dana Carvey?
No.
Wow.
No. I find him to be, hello, Kelsey. I find him to be very disingenuous.
Wow.
Like, I just never buy anything he says or does. Like, I just always feel like, I kind of always feel like he's giving the middle finger to the audience.
That's how I feel about Chris Kattan.
Don't feel that way about Chris Kattan. I haven't seen a lot of Chris Kattan stuff, but I have never thought that.
I had heard from someone. A guy I know used to be good friends with Chris Farley, who hated Chris Kattan because whenever there was a...
Chris Farley hated Chris Kattan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whenever there was a... whenever the guest host was like a hot chick, Chris Kattan would always come up with a skit where they ended up making out.
That's actually kind of
funny. And now whenever I see an old Saturday Night Live...
And you watch him.
And I see Chris Kattan like kissing a guest host, I'm like, slimeball.
Yeah, but I used to work with Chris Farley for a little while, and I did not like him at all.
No, I don't think I would either.
Not a very nice guy.
But
so
he's dead now, so I hope you're happy.
Well, when I was there, I also had the pleasure of meeting John Candy, who was also dead. He was a super nice guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it didn't go with the job, because they both worked the same place. It didn't go with the weight. Didn't go with the fact that they're dead. So I'm just saying.
So here's some things that Dorian has to say. First of all, you guys are great. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorian.
As far as video games, he says Mortal Kombat is the best fighting game in the planet, except online it's horrible. So that's one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
He says L.A. Noire is absolutely the best game of the year so far. Finish it and you will see. I need to finish it. I need to go back to that.
Yeah, you need to go back and watch Fringe.
Okay.
Just saying.
He's been watching a lot of shows on canceled shows on Netflix. Daybreak with Taye Diggs. Remember that 2006 show? Says it was really good.
What was it about? Vampires?
I don't know. I think it was similar to like Flash Forward. I think
really?
They tried to do something. Yeah.
Huh. I don't remember even hearing about that.
I think there's time stopping or something in it.
I like that idea.
Perhaps around the time of Daybreak.
You know what was a good show like that we used to watch? I don't remember if it was on when we were doing the podcast. Journeyman. I used to like that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good one.
He's also been watching The Gates, which he says is awesome, similar to True Blood with less sex. Well, okay. Then I'm out. And a show called The League? Never heard of it.
Me either.
From 2010. He says it's hilarious and wrong.
Oh, you know what? I do know what that show is. I remember hearing about that now.
He agrees with me that Park and Recreation is his new favorite show.
Is that your new favorite show?
He's got a lot of bad things. I think it's behind Modern Family. I think it's the funniest show on TV.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. And he has a lot of bad things to say about Jennifer Lopez. I can't say any of them.
Really? Like it's that bad?
And he says, please watch Damages.
Okay, here. Can I see that? I want to see what he says about J-Lo.
Yeah.
Here. Just toss that over here. Just throw it. It's just an iPad.
No.
And
that's it.
Okay, wait a second. Wait, what?
It's near the bottom.
I know.
Maybe you could read that when we're done. You know, we're doing something here. We got something going on here.
All right. Here you go.
Okay. Do you want to move into games?
Yeah, let's go right into video games.
Okay. I've been playing a lot of games and a lot of like little, I shouldn't say little, but a lot of like downloadable games from PSN.
Okay.
The first two I'm going to talk about were the free games. Remember they had the outage and then they offered you your choice
prizes
of two of five games.
Sorry, we ruined your life for a month. Here's some free stuff.
Yeah. Which, cool. I mean, because actually, I wouldn't have played these games otherwise, and I am really enjoying, actually, all three games I'm going to talk about, I really am enjoying. First is Super Stardust HD.
I feel like I've heard of that before.
Well, it's been out a while.
Okay.
It's kind of like a new modern Asteroids.
Okay. Oh, I've heard of it because you told me about it last week. Yeah.
So much fun. I mean, it's so much fun in the way that I've made it all the way through, except I haven't killed the last boss yet. But each time I play it, you can play like where you just go up to the last planet. There's five different planets.
Okay.
And then there are add-ons where I don't know if there are new planets, but I have downloaded some of the add-ons where there's different kinds of gameplay.
Right.
And I've spent so much time on this game and had so much fun with it because I like just starting from the beginning. The feel and the mechanics of it
is really cool.
Oh.
Is it
but it's just
overhead,
like an arcade game.
Is it overhead perspective or what's the perspective?
No, you're kind of you're always centered, but you kind of go around the orbit of a planet.
Okay.
So it's kind of like 2.5D, if you will.
Okay. I gotcha.
Because you see things like coming at you over the horizon or from different angles. But you're constrained to the orbit of this planet.
Right.
And the rocks that are coming at you are made of different materials. So you have different kinds of guns.
Oh,
yeah. So you have an ice crusher, you have a gold melter.
Oh, and, so you have to pick which one you use to shoot the different asteroids.
Right. And what's cool about it is like you'll be on a board where there's rock, ice, and gold.
Yeah.
And so like the gold melter is the coolest because it just like melts.
Yeah.
But if you use that on the ice, then it kind of like explodes in front of you.
Oh.
And, it's the mechanics on it are great. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's, I think if you paid for it, you know, if it wasn't free, I think it's only like $10. But I've been playing it for hours.
Wow.
I want to mention also all three games I'm talking about are all made by the same developer.
Really?
Yeah. Housemark is their name.
Hmm. Maybe they should change it to Housemart.
Right. The second game is Dead Nation. It's kind of the perspective of like Diablo.
Okay.
Let's call it Diablo perspective.
Right.
And it's a zombie game.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Like a dungeon game, but with zombies.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're picking up loot. And
that's pretty cool.
Then at the end of each phase, you go to the weapon shop and buy new weapons and upgrade your weapons. And like a lot of fun. And, you know, each area is a different part of the town. So one is like a carnival. So you have like clown zombies coming at
you.
Like the zombies, all different kinds of zombies.
That's cool.
Yeah, lots of fun. And the last one is fairly new. It came out, I want to say, last week. It's called Outland.
Okay.
And it's a platformer.
Just like the movie with Sean Connery.
No, nothing like that.
Oh.
It's a platformer, and it's going to be a little hard to describe, but first of all, stylistically, it's beautiful. And you, there's a story behind it that I didn't even pay attention to. It's not important. But
Housemarque, you go through ladies and gentlemen.
You go through
making
these areas
that are just not important.
Where you can change from like the light side to the dark side depending on what obstacles are in your way.
Okay.
I don't know. It's hard to describe. I'll show you a little of it, like a YouTube video of it or something. But
okay.
A lot of fun. Although I'm stuck at the second boss, cannot get past it. And I know there's many more bosses afterwards, so I feel dumb yet frustrated.
I hear you.
I also want to mention another thing. I saw this little hint online, and I think it's a good idea for anyone who has a PSN account and has been offered the free games and the Welcome Back program. If you think even there's a chance you're going to get the PS Vita or Vita, I guess it's Vita.
The new PlayStation Portable thing.
Right. Here's a little tip for you. They offer, if you're on PSN, they offer not only to get, you know, the two free PS3 games, but you also get two free PSP games.
Okay.
Pick the two games you want and download them because you can just store them. You don't even have to download them. Just pick them.
Yeah.
And because once you've downloaded something or paid for something on PSN, you know, you can always delete it and go back and download it again.
Right.
Once you've...
It's on your account. So,
it's on your account, right. So even if you think there's a chance you're going to get it, take the two free games now because this thing ends after a while.
Right.
And then when you've got two games if you get the PS Vita.
Now, is there anything about the Vita that is going to make people want to get it over, you know, who didn't find any need to get a PSP?
Well, there's a lot of new things to it. I mean, there's the touch, you know, the whole back of the unit is
touchy-feely.
Touchy-feely, yeah.
My back is touchy-feely, too. I don't know what that means.
But I think that's a great idea. So I downloaded Little Big Planet.
Oh, my God. You're going to get a PS Vita?
I don't know. But if I do, I have two free games.
Oh, my God.
I got Little Big Planet and Mod Nation Racers, which are full games. I mean, they're not just little, like, you know.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Time wasters. They're like, they're full, you know, big titles.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
So you got two PSN or two PlayStation and two PSP games.
Right. And you get a free month of the PlayStation Plus, which when you have PlayStation Plus, there's a slew of free games there as well.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's a good deal.
Yeah. Actually, I think they
are they doing that for people who buy a PS3 right now?
I would assume so.
Oh, why would they do that? They didn't experience the outage. I was kidding.
I don't know. I think if you just signed up for, I mean, because it's part of their like advertisement on the store right now. So I
really?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's so weird.
That's a good question.
That's so weird. Did you hear that another Sony website was hacked the other day?
I did not.
Yeah. They took like,
I heard that Sega, for anyone that has an online account with them,
yeah,
they were hacked.
Yeah. So some other Sony website was hacked recently.
I also heard that they busted one of the guys.
Oh, really? Responsible?
Yeah, or a couple of the guys. In Spain, maybe?
Yeah. Sounds like a place where a criminal would hang out.
Sorry to all you Spanish out there.
I'm just kidding. Spain, one of my favorite places to go ever.
Yeah.
I love that country.
One of the places I want to go the most.
Yes, you should definitely go. It is gorgeous, and the people are so friendly, and the food is excellent. There's three things right there that you want in any vacation destination. Right. I have also been playing a bunch of little things. Not to trivialize them or anything,
right.
But I was playing demos because, you know, there hasn't been anything out lately that I was really looking forward to. So I just wanted to try a bunch of different stuff. So through Steam, I downloaded the demos for Dungeon Siege 3, which I actually had a lot of fun with. I didn't play it that much, but I had a lot of fun with it.
Uh-huh.
And I also played it's like a dungeon crawl kind of game with lots of loot and everything. And the whole point is just killing lots of stuff and getting lots of loot.
Right.
It's
That's
all
the same with the zombie game.
All about the loot. Right. It's all about the loot. And then on the recommendation of our buddy Todd, I tried out the demo for Bulletstorm, which I did not like at all.
I actually got that from Gamefly, and I played maybe 45 minutes of it.
Yeah, I didn't like it. It was too frantic.
Yeah.
And I felt like I could never tell what was going on.
Yeah. I agree.
I just didn't really get into it. And then I wanted to play the demo for Divinity 2, which is not the sequel to Divinity, but the sequel to Beyond Divinity.
Ah.
And I never played Divinity, but I played Beyond Divinity.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
They're RPGs, single-player RPGs on the PC. And when I went to install the demo, it said that it needed to install like DirectX, you know, like 3 or something that seemed like it was about 100 years old. I'm like, why would I want to install that? That seems like a really bad idea.
So you
I didn't get to play that one, so I was kind of bummed about that. But yeah, I'm probably going to pick up a copy of Dungeon Siege 3 because it was a lot of fun.
What if they have that for the consoles?
I don't know. I do not know.
I believe so, actually.
Or maybe. It seemed like it could be a console game.
All right, check that out. I actually have waiting for me. It just came from Gamefly at home. I have Dead Space 2 waiting for me. So
is that the first one? Is that the one where you always walk like this?
Right.
With the gun in front of you the
I
whole
believe
time?
In the second one you walk the same.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. I enjoyed the first one, though, so...
I heard mixed reviews on it, so I never played it. Well, actually, somebody gave me his copy to play.
Uh-huh.
I'm not realizing that somewhere in the last 20 years, they made games so that like once they're installed on the PC,
right.
You can't give it to somebody and install it again because it's got an activation code.
Right.
So he gives me all these games all the time. I'm like, why are you giving this to me? He's like, so you can try it out. I'm like, you've already activated it. What am I going to do with this?
Right.
He's like, well, I'll take it anyway. I'm like, I can't do anything with it.
Coaster. Got
yeah,
a coaster.
I guess so.
Okay, we got some E3 news, which is no longer news, but I'll read it anyway.
Okay.
E3 is over, and one of the show's biggest announcements was the Wii U from Nintendo.
Wii U!
The new game console will be HD and will feature a controller with a 6-inch touchscreen. And in a statement from Nintendo exec just a couple of days ago, or a week ago, the unit will not have DVD or Blu-ray play capabilities.
I don't know what Nintendo has brought
I
with.
Don't think it matters anymore. I think by now
yeah, but
you have a Blu-ray player.
Think about how
which plays
often
DVDs.
You talk about how the PS3 does everything.
Right.
Because that's their ad campaign. I mean, that's definitely a selling point. You know what I mean?
Don't you think most people, if they're going to have a... Well, I see
I'm
your
just
point.
Saying,
I
I'm just saying, point. Why not incent them even more, the people who don't have one?
Well, they said it would have made it too costly.
Can't you get a Blu-ray drive like for a computer for like $40 right now?
I don't know.
Whatever. I don't really care. 6-inch touchscreen, though. That's a big-ass controller.
Yeah, well, you know what? I read another article like in response to that. They're saying when the PS Vita comes out, which will be before the Wii U comes out,
okay.
That there will be games where you can use it with your PS3 and do the exact same thing.
But it's not 6 inches, is it?
No.
Six inches
like,
is pretty big.
It's like 4.
I mean, that's like 50% bigger than most like big GPS systems.
Right.
And plus, then you have control buttons on either side. So that's a big controller. It's like holding a It's like holding a textbook.
Yeah.
Yeah, or an iPad, but probably not as tall.
Right.
I don't know. It seems unwieldy to me.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
The release date for the highly anticipated, at least by me, game Rage has been pushed back a month to October 4th, probably to further distance itself from the release of Gears of War 3.
No, what kind of game is Rage?
It is a shooter, zombie apocalypse shooter.
So is it like...
I would compare it to...
I mean, is it like...
First of all, the graphics on it look better than any game ever.
What's the Valve one? The Valve games?
Half-Life?
No. The zombie ones.
Oh, no, they look much better than that.
No. But I mean, is it that type of game?
No, it's more... No, because that's get from one end to the other.
Okay,
this
so
is
it's
like,
not an action
story
game.
Driven.
Okay.
First-person shooter story. There's vehicles in it. It looks really, really cool. I think it'll be the game of the year.
Really?
Yeah, I'm saying
when's
it
come out?
Saying it now.
October?
October 4th.
Wow. Put it on your calendar, folks.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? My calendar already has October 4th on it, so that's convenient.
Dork. According to a recent Best Buy ad, Robin will be a playable character in two challenge maps in the upcoming Batman Arkham City, but only if you pre-order the game from them.
Wow.
Which is really weird that Best Buy would be giving such a huge exclusive. Now, when I first heard about this, I'm like, that's really cool. But then I'm like, the Batman game is so dark and serious toned and
say, hey,
stylistically.
I'm Robin.
Yeah, because Robin's always been... I mean, how do you make Robin not campy? Well, then they posted a picture of what Robin looked like.
Yeah.
Totally cool.
Let me see. Oh, yeah, he looks kind of badass.
Yeah.
Looks
really
like
cool.
He looks like he's got an attitude problem.
Yeah, so that's... I'm kind of excited about that. It makes me want to pre-order from Best Buy.
So there you go. You really think it's strange that they would do that big of an exclusive? I mean, I think it's good for them.
Well, I would think they'd give it to GameStop or something. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure they paid a lot of money for it.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
But it's only available. It's not. I don't know if his character will be in the story campaign.
Right.
It's just like in challenge maps.
Yeah.
Just like if you had bought Arkham Asylum for PS3. For PS3 only, it had where you could play Joker in some of the challenge maps.
Right.
Where are we? Okay, this is more E3 product news. PlayStation Vita will be the successor to the PSP. It'll have dual touchpads, GPS, an OLED screen, and 6-axis motion sensors. There will be both Wi-Fi only and Wi-Fi 3G models via AT&T. It'll also have a feature called Near that'll let you see what other people are playing in your vicinity, in case the proximity of random players is important to you.
Would that be important to you?
No.
I don't get what you're going to do with that. What are you going to do? All of a sudden message somebody and say, hey, I want to play checkers?
Because that'll be their big seller,
I think so. I think checkers and tiddlywinks.
I do know that the price of that will be $250.
It's not bad.
No. Actually, I think that's the same price as the Nintendo DS.
Although, really?
Or 3DS. 3DS.
Is that thing $250?
I believe so.
Because now that I think about it, that's actually ridiculously expensive for a handheld gaming system. Don't you think? I think a handheld gaming system should be like $100, like $99. Yeah. $250.
I think the PlayStation Vita will do close to everything.
I think I paid $250 for my Xbox 360.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Actually, right now you can get a PS3 for $299. So
wow.
And like I said before, it does everything.
Wow. Yeah.
Speaking of new consoles, there's a rumor out that the next Xbox could be unveiled as soon as next summer, so probably next E3.
Maybe.
But yeah. I'm sure they'll just talk a little about it. I mean, it won't be released for a few years on the road.
Like, maybe
imagine.
They'll announce it next year. Yeah.
Okay, now this is recent news, and we have even more recenter addition to that.
This is the most recentest news you're going to find on this episode of the podcast.
There are reports that PopCap is about to be acquired for $1 billion.
By EA.
Now they're saying EA. At the time I wrote this, I just put a yet unknown buyer.
Yeah. Some analysts have argued that is too much money for EA to be spending on a company because it's like over 13% of their market cap.
Especially with the economic turmoil we're in right now.
Right. But, you know, making money is making money.
Right.
Regardless of what the rest of the, you know.
Right.
The economic climate is like. But, but yeah, I mean, $1 billion.
It's a lot of money.
That's all from Bejeweled, Plants vs. Zombies, and Peggle.
Yes.
That's their three moneymakers right there. That's crazy. Babies. That is crazy amounts of money. Plus, I don't know, is there any way to like pay them money for anything that's on Facebook? Are any, do any of their games have like a microtransaction component on Facebook?
I do not know.
Because that could be why too, because they're pretty big on Facebook. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do not know.
But that is seriously a ton of money.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And here's some news for you. An ArenaNet exec has stated that there will be no standalone expansions to the upcoming Guild Wars 2 because, and I quote, it split our player base unnecessarily and also caused us to focus development effort on things that were redundant with the original release of the game, such as tutorial areas and duplicates of already existing skills.
Well, and that's actually good news because even though I enjoyed all three of those games.
So I have a question regarding this. So someone, when the original Guild Wars came out and then they came out with an expansion, someone could buy the expansion without having the original Guild Wars?
Yes, it was a completely separate game. But if you own both of them, you could go back and forth between both parts. If you only own one of them, you were stuck in that part. So it was actually really cool from that standpoint because if you liked, because they had sort of different artistic vibes. The first one was much more of a traditional sort of medieval kind of thing. I mean, the landscapes are very varied, but in terms of the overall vibe, the first one was a traditional medieval thing. The second one was like, you know, feudal, I don't want to say feudal Japan, but, you know, feudal Japan kind of a vibe.
You don't want to say it, but you're going to say it.
I'm going to say it, yeah. Right. And then the third one was more of like a, like almost Arabian, Egyptian, African kind of thing. But again, you could, if you owned all three of them, you could go to all the different places that each one of those included,
right,
but you didn't need to own the other ones to play any of them. So that was kind of nice if you just wanted one. But like they said, they had to redo stuff a bunch of times because each right. one then had to have its own tutorial because if you hadn't played the others, then you might not know what you were doing.
Right.
And then they came out with the, an actual expansion, which was called Eye of the North. And that was, you know, just an expansion. So you had right. to own one of the original games in order to play that one.
Ah.
And I think that's...
Did you own all of them?
I did own all of them. And I still do, through, as a matter of fact.
And you got through all of them?
No, I never finished... I never finished...
why haven't you finished?
Nightfall. Well, you know, one of the issues with Nightfall to me was that you really could not finish the original campaign without being in a group. Mm-hmm. And I almost always played by myself. So I never finished that one. The other two I finished. And Eye of the North I never finished. I don't know why. I think I just didn't have enough time to put into it. That one really needed to be in a group too to do it well. Because you know you had henchmen that you could hire that uh-huh. would go with you if you were not playing in a group. But they were not that smart. So you couldn't really get through stuff as well with them as you could with actual
right.
players. But yeah, I think that's actually probably good news for Guild Wars 2. That's the game that I'm most looking forward to. Although I don't think it's going to be out this year.
Right.
Because they're not even in beta yet. So...
That's it.
That's it. That's all you
That's
got?
That's all I got.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about... Yeah. Should I start that over?
It's up to you.
No.
No one thinks you're fine. Perfect.
Okay, fine. Wait. Nobody? Not one?
Nope.
We're back, and it's time to talk about TV. Maybe I should just slow down a little bit. We do have a tendency to talk kind of
yes,
fast.
Yes, we do talk fast.
Is that a problem for you listeners? Let us know.
Yeah, do let us know because sometimes I'll listen to an episode and I'll be like...
We get self-conscious about
that. It sounds
like
we're trying to get in and out.
And well, I guess we both have had quite a bit of caffeine before the show, but
yes.
I don't think that has anything to do with
no.
it. Because I'm not always caffeinated.
It's just our nature.
I think you're right.
I think I talk really fast because I know that you're about to cut me off, so I want to get it all out.
Yeah, that's probably a good plan.
Yeah.
And I talk really fast because I don't have time for my own BS.
But we're glad that you do.
So we have both been watching The Voice.
Uh-huh.
I am.
No, I'm not caught up this week.
I haven't seen this week's either. I think we just watched. Are there two episodes a week now? I'm confused. Like, I don't even get what's going on with their schedule.
There's one a week.
But last week, I know that we saw.
Here's what happened. Last week and the week before. Two of the four teams
sang. But then at the beginning of the show, the previous teams' people get eliminated.
No, one at the beginning, one at the end of the show.
And then
so like
other
last
teams
week's
singing
show,
in the middle.
Right. So, okay. For example, last week's show, I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, Christina's team and Blake's team sang. So last week's show, Adam's team and CeeLo's team sang, but at the beginning, Christina lost two team members, and at the end, Blake lost two team members. So this week, Adam will lose to two team members, and CeeLo will lose two team members, and I assume...
No, that's already happened on the episode that you already saw.
No.
Because this
Adam did not lose his...
Dude, I'm telling you...
I know what I've seen. Adam has not lost his team members until this week.
That's not true, because this week is the week where the remaining eight people sang.
I watched them all last week. Adam had not lost his yet.
Then you stopped before the end of the show.
They performed last week. There wasn't even enough time for people to vote. There was one episode last week.
That's why I'm confused, because the most recent episode we have is the final eight people singing.
Which could still happen with them kicking people off at the beginning.
But they weren't kicked off at the beginning. The show started with introducing...
So what would have happened in the rest of the show?
I don't know. I think there might have been two episodes last week. And you missed one.
So. Well, my DVR wouldn't have missed it.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Because I know that when we started watching the most recent one we had, they were talking about the eight finalists.
So maybe there were two this week. Because I have not watched any this week.
That could be. Could have been two this week. Okay. I have to say, the show is kind of boring.
It drags too much. They put too much... stuff in there that doesn't need to be in
The
there.
Other thing, and I think I said this before, I'll say it again. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Carson Daly was probably one of the worst possible hosts. He is the driest, most uninteresting, most unsympathetic, most unemotional person in the world, right. I'm pretty sure. He's like a mandroid.
And Christina Aguilera needs some sort of like sedative or Valium because she talks way too much. And
this from the two guys who just... apologize for talking too fast.
Yeah. But she just interjects at every possible point.
Yeah, yeah. I just think she needs a new makeup person.
Yeah, and she needs to learn that she no longer fits in her old clothes and it's time to buy some new clothes.
Oh, no. I'm going to disagree with you on that.
Okay.
I'm just going to go ahead and disagree with you right there.
I like her, though. I mean, despite all of that,
I
like her.
Yeah, I kind
of
do.
I actually like the chemistry between the judges. Yeah. I like all four of them are likable.
Yeah, although I have to say, they all heap praise upon all these people, even when they don't sing well.
I'm glad you brought that up because I would have forgotten about it. That's my biggest problem with the show.
Yeah.
There's no judging.
There's no judging. Well, because remember, they're not judges. They're coaches.
Ugh.
But I'll tell you right now, because we haven't talked about this in a couple of weeks, I'll tell you right now, Dia Frampton is fantastic. Yeah. She is fantastic.
I think it's between her.
I think she's going to win.
And the guy from Adam's team, African-American with the hat.
I don't think he's going to win.
I think he's amazing.
Javier Colon? I don't think he's that good. I think he's got a great voice. I just don't think he's got a sound that's interesting for now.
What's the name of the show?
What?
The Voice.
I know, but they have to be able to sell records. That's the whole thing.
Oh, he would definitely sell records.
Really? Because he's already been dropped from two different labels.
Well.
So, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
You ready to talk about Falling Skies?
Is that it? We're done talking about The Voice?
Yeah. What else do you need to say?
I don't know. I like that Beverly girl. She's great. The bald one.
Yeah.
I'm not so crazy about Frenchie. She's got a great voice, but I just like don't really care about her.
Oh, I like Frenchie.
I don't know. And then...
the problem I have with Frenchie is that she's a little too, like, when she gets praise, she acts like she's hearing it for the first time.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, when she's been in this business for probably, you know...
20 years or something.
Well, not quite that much, but
at
least
10. Like 10, yeah.
Yeah.
Senya, I think, has a great voice, but she has no power. And I am surprised that...
Way in over her head.
Yeah, I'm surprised that she was saved. Yeah. And Vicky Martinez?
She's great.
Fantastic. Yeah. She's really great. But yeah, some of the other people who are still in there, I don't get why. That guy, Nakia or whatever, he's awesome. The big guy?
Oh, I think he's
guy?
Overrated.
Really?
I think he's great.
I think he's great. But anyway.
He's too sweaty.
That's just unfair. You can't control that.
No, but you could do things to help that.
Deodorant, he probably wears it.
And not moving around so much.
Well, that's a performer right there.
It reminds me of? It reminds me of when John Belushi used to imitate Joe Cocker.
Right. I could see what you're saying. Yeah.
Are you ready to talk about Falling Skies?
Let's talk about Falling Skies. So we're both really looking forward to this, the new Steven Spielberg-produced alien drama.
And you and I have discussed, we've had conversations about this
already. A little bit, not too much.
But I'm going to backtrack a little on some of my harsh judgment.
Okay.
I thought it was great. I thought the storyline was great. My issue is with the dialogue.
Well, let's give people a little intro.
But let's not say anything about the story.
Okay. Well, let's just give them the premise, because they outline that in the first lines of dialogue.
Okay.
So basically, Earth was attacked by an alien race, and the aliens came down, and they started... Did they kill the parents? They kill adults and steal the kids? Is that what we're...
I don't remember that.
Or maybe they took... No, I think they just mostly started taking kids.
Right.
But
they've destroyed most of the armed forces.
Yeah, all the armed forces, all the national capitals of any country that mattered have all been destroyed. And so there's still people left, but they, you know.
A ragtag bunch of.
Sure, people just here and there.
Right.
and so they're just basically trying to survive. And ultimately, I'm assuming they would like to, you know, take their planet back, basically. Take our planet back, right? I mean, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
They don't just want to survive. They want to get rid of the bad guys.
Have you been writing the dialogue for the show? Because your little syllabus there is very in the vein of over-dramatized dialogue that I have such an issue with.
Yeah, I didn't think it was as bad as you thought it was.
I think it's terrible.
Well, let's put it this way. I've watched entire series of shows with much worse dialogue.
But that doesn't make this any better.
It makes it better than those.
Okay. I'm just saying the story is great. The like some of the little twists that have happened I think are really cool.
Now what twists are you referring to?
Well, I mean just a little, well, I can't say them because it would
allude to them in a way that's not going to give it away for somebody.
Well, a couple little things at the end. Like how they kind of turned it on
a person.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
That was really cool.
That was cool. I like that. That was cool. And as I mentioned to you, I have a theory about where they're going with the story, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want to ruin it for people who may not have watched it yet. But what do you think? You think that's a good theory?
Yes, I think it's a great theory.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. I don't think Noah Wiley was a great choice.
No, again, he's kind of a little dry, a little, you know, do I really care about this guy?
I really think that in theme, this is very similar to Walking Dead. But I think that Walking Dead has a human component that this is completely lacking. And I think dialogue has something to do with it. But I just think the characterization, there is hardly any. It's just so, all those characters are so cliche on Falling Skies. Don't you think?
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
But I'm still going to watch it. I still like it. Hopefully, like, I'll either get over it or it will, like, you know, come into its own.
You know, and it's weird, too, because we have both watched, for instance, V and... Did you watch the event? You didn't watch the event.
Yeah, I watched.
Oh, you did watch the event. Okay.
I gave up when I knew that it was going to be canceled.
Okay. So we both watched V, we've watched the event, we've watched Flash Forward. And, you know, I think that...
This stands up to those.
Yeah, I think it's... I mean, it's definitely less cheesy than V.
Pardon me?
It's definitely a lot less cheesy than V. V was super cheesy. Like pretty much every week.
Yeah, and I think they're equal. I just think V was great at throwing curveballs at you.
Well, especially when they thought they might not be coming back,
right.
Which they're not, right?
It got
canceled.
They're not.
Yeah.
Right.
So, although, isn't there a rumor that Sci-Fi might pick it up?
That's the event.
Oh, that's the event.
Which makes no sense that they would do it for that and not V.
Well, I don't know what the numbers were. Do you?
No.
So then what are you talking about?
My own personal opinion.
Oh, okay. Fortunately, that doesn't count for much in the world of TV ratings. I don't know. I mean, I guess I felt going into this like because Spielberg was a backer that it would have been elevated more than
some
of these
others. You know what? I'm going to agree with you there. Had Spielberg's name not been on it and this was just a new sci-fi series,
he probably
series,
wouldn't have been as harsh.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, exactly.
Right. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to the next one. Let's put it that way.
I enjoyed it, too. I much preferred the second hour to the first.
Yeah, a lot more happened. You know, I don't like... I have a pet peeve with the way the show opened. I don't like that kind of opening. You know? I don't... Because the show opens with them basically saying what I said at the beginning. Except it's narrated by little kids in school who have all been drawing pictures of what happened.
You just reminded me. Terrible.
I just hated that. And I don't like that kind of, you know, mechanic in general.
Right.
On a TV show. That really bothered me. There's so many better ways that you could have shown this.
Right.
Shown what happened. But whatever.
But we'll see. I mean, I'll keep up with it.
Yeah. What'd you think of the various alien components?
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shades of some other things that I've seen before. But I thought the effects were pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, there were some things that...
I don't think
that,
anything major has happened yet to where...
No, there were some things that I didn't quite like as much or thought that they probably shouldn't have done. I'm going to talk about one of them because they show it in the commercials.
Okay.
So anyone who's seen the commercials is already familiar with this. The aliens have, well, one part of the aliens have a targeting thing that's kind of like the Predator.
Yeah.
Where it's got some lasers and then it kind of like focuses in on you and then it shoots at you, right?
Which is cool. Yeah.
Which is very cool. But they miss like 75% of the time. They've got like five lasers and they're like homing in and then focusing. How
and the
do they
homing
miss?
Takes too long. I mean, it should be able to just...
If you can make a robot that walks around, why can't you... And you've got a laser targeting system with five lasers,
right.
Are you not going to be able to hit your target?
Right.
I just like either don't use the laser thing or... Make them hit more often.
Right.
Because pretty much everyone that got fired upon escaped except for like two guys. I mean, it's just like that kind of thing bugs me, you know?
That's funny.
I don't know. It just seemed a little sloppy in terms of, you got to match the, you know, you got to match the technology with the outcome.
Right.
And I don't think they did a good job of that. But anyway, but yeah, we're still going to watch. So.
And really, there's not much else on, as you'll see.
No,
the next few
there really, really
about.
Is not much going on right now.
I just wanted to talk about a couple of new things, just so you know, we had something to talk about in this segment, because you know, as you know, summer can be a little slow.
Sure.
So I've been watching a few episodes of. Well, first of all, there was a show on, I believe it's A&E, called First 48, and what it does, it follows right after someone's been murdered. I mean, this is the original show, not the one I'm going to talk about.
Right.
Right after someone's been murdered, they say. If you don't solve it within the first 48 hours,
the chances of solving it go down precipitously.
Right.
Right.
So,
now, but is it a drama or is it about real murders?
No, it's real. Okay. No, it's all real.
Okay.
You know.
And has there been any allegation that the show has actually murdered people just to have good stories?
No, I have not heard that.
You have not heard that.
But it's always taken place in other cities. I don't even know what cities. But the reason I started watching First 48, and I have to be honest, I never really liked that show because it's always so grim. It's always about like people
I've
being,
never seen
you know,
it.
There's a murder at the beginning of it and you're trying to solve the murder. And,
right.
You know, it always involves them talking to the family, so the families are distraught. It's not an uplifting show. This, now they have First 48 Missing Persons. And the only reason I started watching this is they all take place in Chicago.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. So what's really cool about it is it can take place, you know, in the hood, or it can take place in, like, you know, some wealthy businessman can be missing from the Gold Coast area. So it's always in a different neighborhood.
Huh.
And what's great about this show, I would say the show will either have one, two, or three cases on it, depending on how in-depth the cases are. I would say more than half, they find the missing person.
Pretty quickly.
So...
Within 2 days,
within the,
apparently.
Right,
yeah.
Within the 48 hours.
Right.
In fact, I would say like 75% of them so far I've watched.
Wow.
Like they either...
And is it usually that somebody's been kidnapped or is it...
No, there was one time like...
person
for example,
just left
I'll give
or something.
The first episode, this woman was missing and she was elderly and she had all kinds of health problems and the woman who was taking care of her, like they go and talk to her first because she's the one who reported that she was missing. And well, they started to see that, like, there was documentation that, like, not only was she, were there papers that she was the guardian of this, like, the caretaker of this woman, but she was to become, if anything happened to the woman, the guardian of her child.
Okay.
She was kind of acting as the child's mother.
Okay.
And so you thought, well, she killed her for sure because she wanted all her stuff and her kid.
Right.
And then you come to find out that she was abusing this woman, so this woman ran away and she was hiding, and she was afraid to go back because... You know, so the episode ended with them arresting
the caregiver. Wow, that's wild. You know what's interesting about this whole concept, though, and even the original one, and I've never seen either of these shows. We used to watch a lot of Law & Order and Law & Order SVU, and one of the things that I always thought watching those shows was, this is ridiculous. These are, like, these crazy complex cases that they're solving in, like, you know, 2 to 10 days. And I always thought that was ridiculous, but based on what you're saying about these shows, I guess it's not that ridiculous. It's
right.
Like, if they're going to solve it, they're probably going to solve it pretty quickly.
Right.
That's crazy.
And it's entertaining.
But then you look at other things like what's his name? Drew
Peterson.
How long has that been going on?
But that, well, I mean, now it's gone on so long that, you know, it's there's past no 48 evidence, hours. Yeah. There's, yeah.
But then look at the Brown's Chicken Massacre thing. I don't know, for those of you who don't live in the Chicago area, Brown's Chicken is a local fried chicken chain owned by the brother of the guy who owns Portillo's. And a long time ago, 20 years ago, right?
Yeah. Ish. At least.
Some guys walked into the Brown's Chicken in Palatine, Illinois, which is the town that I used to live in, and they killed everybody in it. And it was called the Brown's Chicken Massacre because they killed all the employees who were there.
Killed the Brown's Chicken business because they called it the Brown's Chicken Massacre.
Right.
No one would go to
kinda,
any Brown's Chicken.
Kind of hard to live that down. and they're kind of sad places to go into, although I will say they have really good hush puppies there.
So there's that.
But anyway, so a few years ago, just a few years ago, the either both or one of the girlfriends of one of the guys who did it, the guy had talked about it, and she felt so bad that, you know, she was dating a guy who killed all these people that she turned him in, and they finally went to jail. So that was pretty cool. And that was like literally like 15, 20 years later.
Right.
They caught a lucky break. That's what happened there. All right. What else you got?
So anyway, that show's been entertaining. But I mean, my main reason for watching it is to see the different Chicago parts of Chicago. Yeah. And, yeah.
Did you ever know any of the missing people?
No.
Had you ever been harboring any
Don't
missing
people?
Don't
you think I would have heard that I knew one of the people on there?
I'm just saying.
I've been watching a little of MasterChef
with
Gordon Ramsay.
This is not to be confused with Master Chief from the Microsoft video games.
Right.
Of the, what are they called?
Halo.
Halo, thank you. Couldn't even remember.
And I have to say, gone. I really enjoyed the like tryout audition process where they had to like cook a dish for them and then they would, you know, comment on the dish.
Right.
I've liked the couple rounds after that, but I haven't seen it this week. So I don't know. I don't know how they continue to narrow down because they keep giving them challenges like, here, cook something with chicken in 2 hours.
Okay.
And, so I don't know if it continues like that because I never watched it the first season, but I have to say I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
There's one judge on there. It's the judge I don't know the name of because the other one is Graham Elliott Bowles, and the only reason I know him is because
he's
worked with him for like a week.
Right. You worked with him for a week?
Yeah.
Where?
Peninsula Hotel.
Oh. He was the chef there?
The week I left was the week he started.
Oh.
He was. Now he has his own restaurant.
How did you
Graham
like
Elliott.
Working with him?
Huh?
How did you like working
I
with him?
I really don't.
Yeah. No. Didn't get a chance to know him, really.
My mind was already on its way out, so I really didn't care. And he's very nice. But there's one guy, the other guy who I can't remember his name, total jerk. I mean, he makes Gordon Ramsay. You know,
what's the guy look like?
Seem like a pussycat. Like a jerk.
Oh, he's got like a jerky look to him.
I don't even know what his background is. In fact, maybe I should have researched that before discussing this.
But yeah, probably. I think.
Whatever. I don't want to give him the satisfaction. Why do you want to spend time on jerk knowing people? Any more about him?
Yeah, exactly.
But the show's entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I saw a few minutes.
Something on there though that I didn't know, and I think we should discuss.
Chicken should be fully cooked before consuming.
No, I think we all know that.
Oh.
There was one girl when she was auditioning. She made this wonderful dish that, you know, they're watching these people make it because they have to make it in front of them, or at least a portion of it.
Yeah.
So she's making this wonderful dish and they're saying, oh, this is going to be good. And then she drizzled some truffle oil on it and they acted like that was like she had just committed murder.
Right.
And all three of them were like, you know, that's the worst thing you could do. Truffle oil is terrible. You know, it's not even made with real truffles. It's perfume in there. It's not, you know, there's nothing authentic in truffle oil. And
is
you would be
laughing. Is that any truffle oil or is that just white truffle oil?
I don't know.
Okay, because it was white truffle oil,
It was
oil,
white
right?
truffle oil.
Because I remember hearing the story.
I have to say, without naming the names of any of them, I have worked for some world-renowned chefs that have used truffle oil.
But that's why I'm wondering if it's maybe just white truffle oil.
I don't know.
You know, kind of like Zinfandel is a pretty fabulous wine. White Zinfandel is a pretty terrible alcoholic grape juice.
True.
So you kind of have
know.
To...
I should investigate that.
You should.
As well.
There's a lot of research that you should have done for this show that has not been done for this show.
Right. And I probably won't come back to the show for discussion, so...
Okay, so there you go.
Let it be said.
Well, thanks to our own Kelsey, who can't hear me because she's got headphones on right now. We've been watching the first season of Smallville.
Really?
Which is the TV show about a young Clark Kent. And I have to say... Okay, first, let me just get this out of the way. One of the cheesiest TV shows I have ever seen in my life.
Isn't it kind of geared, maybe it wasn't at first, but doesn't it become geared toward like teenage girls at some point?
I don't know. I mean, it's been on for 10 seasons.
Right.
And we're halfway through the first, so I have no idea. But it is seriously so super cheesy. It's crazy. Like, I mean, the music in it is so bad. It's like an after school special. It's like so cheesy, so cheesy. But it's also got this charm to it that I really like. And story wise, I'm really engaged by it. What's really cool about it is it starts the day that the asteroid from Krypton hits in Smallville. Right. So the Kent, Mr. and Mrs. Kent find, you know, the baby out. It's not really a baby. It's like 5 or 6 or whatever, out in a field because they're driving by when the meteors are coming down. But then the rest of the series.
Really? He was 5 or 6? Because I believe in the original comic, it's a baby.
It's an infant, right? Well, he was standing up and walked over to him and was, you know, playing with his dinky or something. I don't know. But I don't know. Maybe he was 3. Maybe he was 2. Okay. But supposedly, it's 12 years later, and he's like a junior or senior in high school, I think. Right. So something's amiss there. Right. I think they may have gotten their own timeline wrong. But anyway, you get the gist of it. He's in high school.
Or maybe people from Krypton age faster.
And are
but then in, stop aging.
And then are put in the appropriate grade based on their strange aging. So what the show is basically about is all the other weird things that have happened to other people in Smallville as a result of being exposed to the meteors. So like there's an episode where this, you know, guy who's a football coach, he can like set things on fire with his mind and stuff like that. So there's all these different things like that.
It's kind of like X-Men a little.
It's a little bit. It's more of like a freak of the week kind of thing than a really X-Men. So it's really isn't until the beginning of the show when Clark is in high school that even his parents start noticing that he's not like other kids. I mean, they know that he came from another planet because they took the spaceship home. You know what I mean?
All right.
So they know he's from another planet. But you know, obviously nobody else knows. But one of the most interesting things about it, and again, I don't know anything about comic books, so I don't know if this is the official Superman lore. Lex Luthor's dad, Lyle, is this, you know, like billionaire industrialist. And he sort of banished Lex to Smallville to run one of their factories there because he's sort of fed up with him. Because Lyle is, you know, a snake oil salesman. He's a crook and a criminal and very underhanded and everything. And Lex actually...
He's a little Trumpy.
He is. And Lex actually wants to do things the right way. He wants to treat people well. He wants to, you know, he cares about the town, all that kind of stuff. And he and Clark are best friends in the show.
Interesting.
It's really interesting. But there's also this underlying suspicion on Lex's part that there's something going on with Clark that Clark isn't telling him. And in fact, in the most recent one we watched, there were these two guys who were salesmen for some company, and they were en route to somewhere when the meteors hit. And they both developed the power of persuasion where all they would have to do is shake somebody's hand, and they could get those people to do anything they wanted. So there are these two totals.
I want that power.
That's a good power to have.
That is.
So one of them realized the danger of that, and he basically went into isolation and became sort of a hermit. The other one abused it and is now this like super powerful person. And for instance, he got Clark's dad to sell the Kent farm so that he could build a factory there. So they're trying to stop him and everything. And one of the things that he does is he goes and he shakes Lex Luthor's hand, and because they're old business adversaries, and he plants the idea in his head to kill the other guy, the hermit guy, because the hermit guy is trying to take him down. Right. So so the thing is, when he goes to try to kill the hermit guy, I think the guy's name is Kyle.
Sure, Kyle the Hermit.
Kyle Tippett the Hermit. Uh-huh. Clark rescues him and carries him out of a burning car and then like really fast runs him into the barn to save him. And Lex sees him and he's like, you know, I knew you were hiding stuff from me, Clark, but I didn't know it was anything this big. Well, one of the things about this power that these two guys have is after the person completes the thing that they suggested to them that they do, they lose their memory. So afterwards, Lex forgets that he saw Clark do these things. So he still has this suspicion that there's something going on with Clark, but, you know, he can't piece it together.
That's clever.
But
it's really, you know, you don't have to really recount every episode of Smallville.
No, I'm not. But there are some weird things. Like the girl who Clark has a crush on in school, her name is Lana Lang.
All right.
Okay. Well, and as we all know, later in life, he's in love with Lois Lane.
You know, that's comic book stuff.
Yeah.
They do stuff like that.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. But there are some funny things like there's some actual kind of funny stuff. Somebody, I think Lex asks Clark, you know, well, what do you want to do with your life someday? He's like, well, I never really gave it much thought, but just as long as it's something where I don't have to wear suits and fly a lot, which is kind of funny.
Right.
Considering, you know.
Right.
But anyway, it's actually a pretty fun show. I've been enjoying it. And then the other thing is we watched the first episode of The Glades, which is a show about a Chicago cop who has moved down to...
The Big Easy.
The Big Easy?
Isn't it Louisiana?
Is it Louisiana?
Or is it, no, I guess it would be the Florida if it's called Florida. The Glades.
Yeah, I think so. I honestly don't know.
We'll edit that out.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's Florida. But the one complaint, you said you liked that actor who's on the show. Didn't you?
I don't know him, no.
Oh, I thought you said you liked him.
No.
Oh. Well, the one complaint I have about it is, I don't know what that guy's name is. He does not even remotely seem like somebody who would have ever lived in Chicago, ever. He doesn't talk like he's from Chicago. He doesn't act like he's from Chicago. He acts like he's from right where he is right now.
I would love to read that he was born in Chicago.
It would be pretty funny. But even if he was born here, there's no way he lived here because he doesn't act anything like a Chicago person. Not that I think you could quantify that so succinctly for, you know, the majority of people who live here. But, you know, there's a certain Chicago-ness to people who live in Chicago.
Right. Yeah, I got nothing.
Excuse me. But yeah, it was interesting. You know, another super smart cop foiling crimes, you know, that kind of thing.
Ooh, Sunny with a Chance of Homicide. That's the tagline.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Okay. Anyway. You ready for some miscellaneous?
Yep.
HBO and Sex and the City creator Darren Star are teaming up once again for the comedy The Viagra Diaries, starring Goldie Hawn, about a woman who re-enters the dating scene after 35 years.
That sounds awful.
It does, but I really like Goldie Hawn.
I love Goldie Hawn. That's the only reason
I put it in here.
I really love Goldie Hawn.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
A couple new Star Wars programs were announced this week. Or last week. First is a Lego Star Wars special that will air this fall. The other has little details.
A Lego Star Wars special?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm a huge Lego fan. I like the Lego Star Wars games. Why would you want to watch a Lego Star Wars TV show?
Well, have you ever seen those little Lego movies? They're stop motion. They're made...
Right, with real Lego.
Right. I don't know
if
it's going to
be that. But this is not going to be that. This is going to be computer animated.
Will it? I don't know.
Yeah, I would assume just like the cutscenes in the games.
I'm sure it's for kids.
That's goofy. But anyway...
The other has little details, but it is a series titled Star Wars Detours, which is not the live action series that we reported on last episode.
Huh. So we don't know what it's going to be.
I'm guessing it's the thing that Seth Green is doing.
Yeah.
You know, because he does Robot Chicken.
Or maybe it's about when Han Solo was on the Kessel Run, but he made a left turn to Albuquerque.
Well, no, remember the thing that Seth Green was going to do was going to take place in the Star Wars universe, but have nothing to do with those stories. It would just be like
other stuff going on,
which the name Detours would make sense.
Maybe it is. Yeah, maybe it is.
In strange casting news, Lifetime is making the Drew Peterson story based on the Illinois cop who was suspected of killing two of his wives, with Rob Lowe playing Drew Peterson.
Now, if you've ever seen a picture of Drew Peterson, and many people may not have because it could be more of a local thing. Isn't he like a 60-year-old?
Talk about typical Chicago guy.
Isn't he a 60-year-old gray-haired, mustached, yeah. Big, kind of heavy
set? Squinty eyes, like.
Looks nothing like Rob Lowe.
Nothing like Rob Lowe. So I'm anxious to see how they pull it off. Speaking of, well, you know what? I'll show you the pictures when we go to break. But there's some ads out right now for, you know, and I reported on it earlier, but they HBO or Showtime made a movie about the presidential run with John McCain and Sarah Palin.
Okay.
With Ed Harris as John McCain.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing commercials
Julianne Moore
for it.
As... Oh, you saw the commercials for it?
Yeah.
Isn't it unbelievable how much
he looks
Ed
like
Harris
him?
Looks like John McCain?
Don't forget, on this show, we refer to him as Ed Hairless. But yes, it's uncanny.
It's uncanny. Oh, very cool. The NBC affiliate in Salt Lake City is refusing to air the upcoming series, The Playboy Club, for obvious reasons.
You know, I have to say, the commercials that I saw for that actually look kind of cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it's just about, you know, naked chicks. I mean, it looks like a cool story about, you know, and it's got that whole sort of Mad Men vibe in a way because it takes place, you know, in the 60s mostly, right?
Yeah.
But didn't you get the impression from some of the commercials that it looked like they were going to say that Hugh Hefner had killed a guy and dumped him in a river?
No, I didn't get that.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't we see him kicking a body into the river?
Hugh Hefner?
I thought it was him.
I don't think Hugh Hefner is... Does someone play Hugh Hefner in this? I think this is just set at the Playboy Club.
Oh, really? Okay, no. He's not in it.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, though. I'm just speaking. But what's funny about that is, you know, I'm sure they didn't have any problem with Big Love, you know, about polygamy.
Exactly.
Sorry to all our listeners in Utah for that joke.
Who are polygamists? Do we have a lot of those?
If we do, we'd like to know.
Yes.
We'd like you to be a guest on the show,
we
actually.
We could arrange an interview. Right. Exactly.
Danny Glover has just joined the cast of Touch, the new Kiefer Sutherland drama. Remember we reported on that? Remember what it's about?
Yep, I do. He touches people, and then he can... No.
Wrong.
No?
He has an autistic son who...
Is touched?
Is able to solve murders and crimes.
And mazes. That's a superpower. That's can finish any maze in under 30 seconds.
It has been leaked that Christina Aguilera makes $150,000 more a week on The Voice than the other three judges.
That is not surprising to me because probably about 150,000 times more people know who she is than the other three judges, at least before the show.
Fair enough.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
When you see the kind of money that people make on TV shows, isn't it just mind-boggling?
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
Leave it there so I can read this last thing.
Okay.
Donald Trump has just signed a new deal with NBC where he will make $65 million a year for the next 2 years of Celebrity Apprentice. That makes him the highest paid reality star ever, beating out Simon Cowell's $45 million a year.
Here's what I don't get. Okay, let's work this out. Open up the calculator on your iPad, would you?
There isn't a calculator on the iPad.
What?
Nope.
Why is there no calculator?
I mean, there are calculator apps, but why would I ever use my iPad for a calculator?
Wouldn't you use it if you're using... Okay, so 65 million, divide that by...
Do I need to put in all the zeros?
Yes. Divide that by how many episodes is it? Let's say 22. Divided by 22.
I don't think it's that many.
Really?
Put it.
Just divide it by 22. Okay, so how much is that?
Almost 3 million an episode.
Okay, so now divide that... It's an hour long?
2 hours.
Every episode is 2 hours?
You never watched it, did you?
Yeah. Not the celebrity. But, okay, so you're probably right. It's probably not 22 episodes then. So just
I'll still divide that by 100.
Well, divide that by... No, wait a second. No, no. You don't know what I'm going to tell you to do. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 three-minute commercial breaks, right? So divide it by...
Well, hold on. I already...
6, 18. So divide that number then by 18.
Hold on. I have to start over.
Okay. 65 million divided by...
I don't have
by,
any CE on here, so I...
There's
know.
A C.
Is that the same as CE?
Yes, it is. Tony.
What am I doing now? I'm dividing.
Okay, divide 65 million by, just say, 22. 100. Just say 22. Just divide it by 22. Trust me.
Why?
Just trust me.
I need to know your reason why.
Let's say it's a regular 22 episode season.
I've already done that.
Hour long each. Okay, so.
I've already divided by the 22.
So now what are you at?
Almost 3 million.
Okay, now divide that by 18, which is how many minutes of commercials are in each hour.
Okay.
And what's that number?
164,141.
Okay, so that means that the network is charging 80-some thousand dollars for every 30-second commercial. Do you think that's possible?
I don't know. Just to pay him. That has nothing to do
I'm
with
saying.
Production costs
That's what
or
I'm
anything.
Saying, just to pay him.
Right.
Well, that you is know, crazy.
The latest news, because I was looking at the news before we started, NBC is denying it. But of course they're going to deny it.
He probably made that up and just leaked it.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe. By the way, that's all I have.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have anything else either. I think we should probably end the segment.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. Now, again...
A lot of movies to talk about.
Again, we've both seen two of the same films.
Yes, we have.
In fact, we
in
saw
the
one
theater.
Of them together. In the
in
theater.
In the theater.
That's right. So let's talk about the first one, which is X-Men First Class. Been out for a few weeks now. I think we can safely talk about it, right? Don't you
sure.
think?
Well, it's still in the theaters. I wouldn't give away plot points.
Okay. No fun. This is no fun.
It'd be no fun to ruin a movie for someone.
It takes place mostly in the 60s and is predominantly the story of how the X-Men got their start, as well as the relationship between Charles Xavier and Eric Lenscher, or as somebody else calls him in the movie, Eric Lenscher, and how they become Professor X and Magneto. Right?
Yes.
Accurate?
Yes.
Okay. My favorite X-Men movie, and possibly even my favorite comic book movie ever.
I will not agree with that.
I know you will not agree with that, because you're a DC Comics guy, and you would feel like you were cheating on Batman if you said The Dark Knight was not your favorite movie ever.
Favorite comic book movie.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Whereas I prefer the sort of first of all, I love origin stories. So I actually liked Batman Begins more than I liked The Dark Knight.
Makes no sense to me.
Well, I like origin stories.
Okay.
You know? And since I didn't ever follow the Batman comic books, I have no particular love for the Joker. I don't know anything about him other than he's just another bad guy. So,
he's the greatest bad guy.
Well, that's what you and many other strange Batman freaks say, but it doesn't mean it's true. There's a very famous saying. I forget who said it now. But he said, how many legs would a dog have if you called his tail a leg?
Oh, you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
One.
No. No, usually people would say five, and he said, no, it's four, because just because you call it a leg doesn't mean it's actually a leg.
See, I said one, because if you're calling the tail a leg,
then
I
you wouldn't
bet
be calling
the
legs
something else.
Right, but that, you're reading too much into it, and then you ruin the joke, and the whole thing kind of got derailed. But anyway, you get the point. But no, I loved it. I thought everything about it, except for a couple minor little things, was pretty fantastic. I love the casting. I even love that guy who played Charles, even though I couldn't stand him in what was that Angelina Jolie movie he was in? The guy who played Charles, Wanted.
Oh, Wanted. Yeah.
I did not like him at all in that movie, but
I loved him in this.
I
don't like him in person either.
I know. Michael Fassbender, who played Magneto, was fantastic.
Yep.
Jennifer Lawrence
was great.
Jennifer Lawrence was really great, and now I'm actually really looking forward to seeing that other movie she's going to be in
later this
year. Yeah, The Hunger Games, or next year, whenever that comes out.
Yeah. Did you like Twilight too?
Was she in that?
No.
Oh.
But Hunger Games is like Twilight.
Oh, it is?
It's a teenage girl book, yeah.
Oh, but the story sounded cool.
Well, enjoy.
Okay, well, I've never seen the Twilight movies, so I can't comment on them. But no, it was really well cast. The set design was phenomenal. I just liked watching the movie. I thought the story was really cool.
Again, it was great.
I don't know how,
true it is to the comics,
but I really, really liked it. You know, I don't think I even knew going into the movie that Kevin Bacon was in it. Like, I don't think I even knew that he was in the movie. And I loved him in it. He was great.
Yeah, he was good in it.
I just liked just about everything about it. There were a couple things that were not consistent with some of the previous movies, but I didn't really care about those things.
Yeah. So. If I had one casting issue, and I don't dislike her, I just don't think she's good at a lot.
Yes.
January Jones.
I thought she was fine for that part.
Yeah.
I thought she played the part fine. I mean, I know a lot of people...
I think it could have been played better, is what I'm saying.
She didn't really have
she's
that big of a part,
cold.
Though.
Cold. I know, but still.
That fit her character perfectly.
I know, but no. I mean, I heard... No.
I didn't find her cold in Love Actually, did you?
What's she in Love Actually?
She was one of the girls in the bar in Milwaukee.
Oh, well, that's... She had like three lines in that.
Right, but that's enough to see that she wasn't like
I'm
that.
I'm saying she's great on Mad Men. Did you ever... I think we
you
talked about when she hosted Saturday Night Live. Terrible. She's terrible.
Yeah. I actually watched a few minutes of Mad Men last week.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I might want to get that at some point and watch the whole series. It did not at all have the kind of tone I thought it was going to have.
Why?
I don't know. I thought it was going to be a much more serious TV show than it is. There was a lot of humor in it.
Yeah, there's humor in it.
And it's, in a lot of ways.
But it's not a comedy.
No, but it's light. It's not.
Oh, no. There's parts of it that's really heavy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because I expected the whole thing to be heavy and to be, trying real hard to be kind of, dark.
No, you really have to be in the mood for it, because there's a pacing to it that doesn't fit in today's world.
Yeah.
Which I think is why it gets so much critical acclaim. It moves very slow.
But I kind of like that because it
fits.
And
now that I'm watching all these classic movies, it fits with that time.
Yeah, totally. It totally fits. But yeah, I really loved X-Men. If you were a fan of the other movies, especially the first two, this is an excellent prequel to those movies, mm-hmm. I think. Just absolutely excellent.
I agree.
And now let's talk about the other movie that we both saw.
We both saw Super 8.
Super 8. Why don't you go first?
Pleasantly surprised, because I read some reviews and people were saying, oh, it's just J.J. Abrams ripping off Spielberg. And like, I wouldn't, even if he was. I mean, if you're going to rip someone off, rip some, sure. you know,
rip
one, one of the masters.
Right.
Yeah. So, right. But my worry was that it was going to be really like saccharine-y and like really like dumbed down. Not at all.
Right.
Not at all.
And
I thought the kids, you know, it's based around these kids. I thought every one of them were, they were great actors.
Wonderfully cast.
And like the chemistry between them was great.
Yep.
I like that they talked like kids their age at that time
yep.
did. I mean, they were swearing and they were, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't like unbelievable.
Right. Absolutely. And I know you're not going to agree with me, but I will go so far as to say that this is one of my favorite movies in years. Like,
yeah, I don't agree with that. In fact, if... I would, well, no, I won't say that. I won't say that. I would say Super 8 is probably a better movie than X-Men First Class, but if I had to watch either one of them again, it would be X-Men First Class. I don't think I would see Super 8 again.
Yeah, I would definitely see it again, because what it does is it does exactly what I've complained about on this show so many times, is it fulfills that desire in me to see a movie like the movies that we grew up with. It was made very much in the style of the movies of
yes.
the 80s that Spielberg made or produced or whatever. And for that reason alone, I absolutely loved it, because it made me feel like I was, you know, back in high school watching a
right.
movie.
And
again.
I agree with you. And I think that's one of the issues I have and why I really don't need to see it again, though I loved the movie, is that, I mean, I realized also that I've matured since those movies. And this movie, just to me, it didn't have.
It wasn't probably as complex.
As cerebral. Yeah.
Right. As
right.
you would like it to be.
Exactly.
Right.
That's my only. And it's not even a complaint. It's not meant to be that.
Right. Exactly.
No, I mean, the movie's. I have no complaint about the movie.
Yeah. It was
just,
really
you know,
good. It was really. It was just so enjoyable to watch. And I sat through the movie, like, almost literally with a smile on my face the whole time, just because
okay,
I couldn't believe
creepy.
I was sitting there watching a movie like a movie from the 80s. I mean, right. it was so well done in that vein. I was actually a little bit confused about the time frame, because it looked very 70s, but all
it's
the music was.
It's supposed to be 79. And I checked a lot of.
Was the music wrong?
No.
It wasn't.
Because I
okay.
checked the things that I could remember. I went home and I checked the one. I checked a bunch of things. I'm like, there's got to be an inconsistency.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
because
find.
I thought those
Let
songs.
Let me tell you, the one inconsistency I found, kind of.
Okay.
The guy working in the, was it a gas station? With the Walkman on. Walkman was introduced in 1979, but in Japan. So the chance that that kid, because they were expensive too, the chance that that kid had a Walkman is.
Well, it came out in 79 in the U.S. later that year, didn't it?
Perhaps, but it was. There's no way a kid working at a gas station had a Walkman. Is what I'm. I mean, unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, it is unlikely.
It's a stretch.
It is unlikely,
but I was looking up like when they said that thing looked like a Rubik's cube. I'm like, no way it was Rubik's cube out in 79, but it was invented in 74.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if it was, you know,
out here.
Right.
Right.
But
yeah.
But I was so quick to
trying
like,
to
check. Yeah. Checking.
Yeah.
The you know time frame for everything to see if there was something that was inconsistent.
Yeah, and I liked. Like you're saying, the dialogue totally made sense for the time mm-hmm. and the characters. And I loved that the characters did, you know, swear, but it wasn't like today where people had all this
right.
attitude and
right.
this, you know, it just fit so well for the time period in which it took place. I thought the casting was fantastic.
Yeah.
Those kids were great. They were so great together. And there were a lot of really funny.
And I'm glad that they chose kids. I mean, other than the Fanning girl, they chose kids that we really haven't seen
yeah,
before.
I had not seen any of those kids before.
Well, the one kid also I had said is the son in The Big C. But I mean,
but I've never seen that, yeah.
And he was in a minor role. Well, I mean, it didn't take away or
right,
add
right.
that fact.
I mean, the dad, the main kid's dad, you know, he was in King Kong.
Right.
So I'd seen him before. The guy who played the girl's dad, I'd seen him before
Ronald
and stuff.
Dad.
And there were a couple other people who you'd recognize from other things,
right.
but not in a way that detracted at all from the film.
Right.
And I liked the story. Like you said, it wasn't overly complex, but I liked it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty cool. I liked what happened at the end. I thought that was a really neat ending. Like,
right.
I thought it was very clever. What? I can't even say it. But I think you probably know what I'm talking
right.
about. And I thought that was really neat what happened there. And I love the way the movie ended. I loved how it just ended
right.
when the story was done being told.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, so many movies go now these days back for like some kind of little epilogue where there's some other like little conversation and words of wisdom or some, you know, overly written speech by one of the characters or some monologue or whatever. And this movie didn't need that, and it didn't have it, and I was glad it didn't have it. But I just cannot recommend this movie enough, especially if you're around my age. You know, if you're in your early to mid-40s and you grew up with movies in the late 70s, early 80s, I think you'll really enjoy this movie because it really takes you back to that.
I especially think if you liked Goonies, you would love this
movie. You know, and the thing is, I'm not a huge Goonies fan. I've only seen that movie once.
Really?
Yeah. I saw it in the theater, and I never watched it again.
You should watch it again. I think you'd appreciate it more.
Really? But this definitely had elements of The Goonies, Stand By Me, you know, Close Encounters.
E.T.
Definitely. You know, and there were some little things here and there. You know, there was a Star Wars poster in the kids' room, like behind other stuff.
Right.
The sheriff in the town, his name was Pruitt. And Pruitt is the name of one of the officers that's chasing the UFOs in Close Encounters.
They did a lot of that stuff.
Is there a list somewhere? Because I'd like to see that. Huh. I'd like to see that. Those were just, you know, there were a bunch of things that I noticed. But yeah, so it was cool that, and I loved, even like the main kid is not the kid who's the movie maker. He's the friend of the kid who's the movie maker. And that kid who was the movie maker, like even the way that he was into his movie making and the stuff that he talked about, I just thought was so, you know, appropriate.
Right.
And didn't seem out of character or out of place at all. I was very happy with the movie. And I definitely would like to see it again, unlike you. But so you've seen some other stuff?
I have. I just caught on cable not too long ago. A couple of friends of mine were telling me that I really had to see Fantastic Mr. Fox, which is that based on the Roald Dahl book.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a fan of Wes Anderson, who is the director. So right. I'm like... And also, in the preview, the animation style looked like it would bother me a bit after watching it for like an hour and a half. But I happened to catch it starting, so I'm like, I'll watch a little because everyone told me how great it was. I loved it.
Really?
It's really clever. It's really funny. Like, laugh out loud funny. But yet, it's still, you know, from a kid's tale, though I wouldn't say it's a kid's movie.
Right.
I mean, it'd be fine for kids, but I think it would be more entertaining for an adult.
Yeah.
And just the dialogue's clever. The voicing's great. I mean, George Clooney is fantastic. Mr. Fox is just like, it totally fits. Meryl Streep and Bill Murray do the other voices. Like,
yeah.
It's just really clever and funny. Yeah. In fact, I want to see it again.
Yeah. I would like to see movies like that, but I just can't get Amy to watch any kids movies that Anna
But
Joe
I wouldn't even,
watch.
Well, she would, it's animated.
Right. She wouldn't watch it until he's old enough to see it.
So she won't watch like a Pixar movie?
Not unless he can see it too. Because she's, you know, surrounded and inundated by little kid stuff all day, and she doesn't want to see anything like that. And I totally understand.
She wants boobs and bombs.
Not so much the boobs. The bombs. Right. Monsters, aliens, stuff like that. Time travel.
Right.
The more sci-fi, the better for her.
But anyway, I liked it.
Yeah.
Also, continuing with my classic film project of the summer.
Right.
I thought I would check out George Lucas's original sci-fi movie.
Yep.
I mean, the first sci-fi movie, THX 1138.
Yep.
Thought I would hate it. I don't hate it. It was good. I mean, I would recommend it because you can kind of see...
What's the gist of the story?
It takes place in the future when we start to build machines to do our jobs.
Okay.
And then through some way, people are forced to live without any emotion.
Okay.
And they're just kind of workers creating the machines, which are now kind of like, you know... Not running the world. I mean, humans are still running the world, but I don't know. They're just forced to live emotionless.
So is it that basically we've become the creations that we've made to make our
perhaps.
To make our lives
that's,
better?
That's good. Yeah. That's good. And Robert Duvall is the main character, and he's just a worker. And in fact, everyone has just like they don't even have names. They just his name is THX 1138.
Oh, okay.
They just have like you know serial numbers for names and. And each person has a mate that it's just to procreate. It's not to have any love or anything. And he falls in love with his mate.
Okay.
And it's strictly forbidden. And so it's about him trying to, like...
Love her without getting busted.
But still escape that whole world that they're trapped in.
Yeah.
And so there's
is
a lot of,
Is there anywhere
like,
to escape to? I mean, is there...
They don't know that. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
You find out at the end.
Right.
But, they don't know what's, like, outside of the world that they're in.
Okay.
Because I don't know if this takes place over the whole world. It might just be in the area that they're in.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, like, like there's a big long chase near the end of it that's really like exciting.
Yeah.
And the pace is odd. I mean, again, goes back to how I'm saying it's 60s, 70s pace, so it's slower. But the look of it and like the cinematography is great.
Do you know who did the camera work? Was it George Lucas? Did he do it himself?
I don't know. I could look that up.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was the first movie. I watched a documentary on the filmmakers from San Francisco. So Coppola and Lucas being featured in both of those.
Yeah.
And this was the first, Coppola produced this.
Okay.
And this was the first movie that his American Zoetrope Studios made.
That's cool.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to see it someday.
I'm wondering if any of the little actors are in it are like actors that he used in Star Wars in little parts in Star Wars.
You didn't notice for sure.
No, I could. Yeah. Not that I recognized.
Right.
No.
Right.
Because everyone is like, everyone just wears like white and they have a shaved head.
Oh, right. Right.
So, I mean.
Yeah. And you know where THX 1138 came from?
I don't.
I believe it was George Lucas's license plate number.
Really?
Because he was a kind of a hot rodder. He was, you know, into that whole, which is where American Graffiti came from. That was basically his high school, you know, based on recollections from his high school years. And I think THX 1138 was his license plate number. But you might want to look that up. I might be confusing that with the fact that I think that Harrison Ford's car in American Graffiti had the license plate THX 1138. But anyway.
Oh, Donald Pleasance is in it also. He's great in it.
Donald Pleasance. Oh, yes. Right.
From
Blofeld.
Halloween.
Yeah. And he also played Blofeld in Diamonds Are Forever, I believe.
Ah.
And it was the version of Blofeld that Dr. Evil was based off of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Including the outfit and everything. And the scar and all that kind of stuff. So while you're looking that up, I'm going to talk about a movie that we watched, which has been much derided, and that is The Tourist. We watched that movie on demand, and you know, it
was
not... You're
going to defend it, aren't you?
What?
You're going to defend it, aren't you?
Not really. I mean, it was not a great movie. Again, another movie that I think was made far worse because of its soundtrack. The music was just terrible. Just absolutely awful. Considering that it was probably a big budget movie, the music was just dreadful. It made the movie so much worse. If it had had a better soundtrack, I guarantee you more people would have liked the movie. Because the story was actually all right. I mean, there was some stuff that was definitely really stupid. The entire plot hinged on one particular thing that made absolutely no sense. So from that standpoint, it was ridiculous. But I don't think that a lot of the reviews of the movie were really fair. In fact, I'm almost wondering if people stopped watching it before the end.
Well, you know what the biggest complaint about the movie was is that both of the main characters, there was absolutely no human depth whatsoever. I mean, do you have that complaint as well?
Well,
although you don't really need that as much as I do.
I don't need that in a movie that doesn't need that. You know what I mean?
But I think every movie needs that.
I don't think
so. How can
so.
You? Absolutely. How can you like even sympathize or get into the story if the characters are so one-dimensional?
I guess it really depends on the story. I mean, you know.
But I mean, there's not even any credence to the story if you can't buy that the characters are even real people.
No, I know what you're saying.
Not real people, right, but you know what I'm saying. Right. Like, have some depth to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I don't know. I don't look at it the same way. Excuse me. But I will say that, obviously, when that exists in a movie that you are not expecting it in... See, because you don't really expect that in certain types of movies.
I expect it in every movie I see.
Really?
Yes.
Well, was there depth? Was there depth to Luke Skywalker?
Absolutely.
What? What depth was there?
He was this boy that was frustrated because he was like stuck on this farm and he wanted to do big things and like,
right.
I mean, what's not deep about that?
Well, I don't know if that's deep. I mean, well, it's that's the character. You just described the character, but I mean, you could say the same thing. Johnny Depp's character was a guy who lost his wife and he was, you know.
But did you get that from his performance?
Yes. Yes. Because
that's the biggest complaint is that their performances are so wooden that you don't, you know.
No, I did get that from his performance. Her character was a lot more wooden. I thought, and at the same time, there was a reason for why her performance was wooden. It actually had to do with the story. So I almost feel like a lot of people didn't watch the whole movie. And again, there was one ridiculous plot hinge that just was seriously just laughable, because if everything hinged on that and it didn't go the way it went, there would have been no film.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that part of it was really stupid. But I actually liked, let's put it this way, I liked the story. I didn't think that their performances were great.
If it's on cable, which I think it might be now.
Yeah.
I would watch it just because I'd like to see the settings. Doesn't some of it take place in Italy?
Yes, some of it takes place in Italy. Yeah.
What part do you know?
I don't remember now. Yes, Venice. Yeah, it is Venice. That's right. Like I said, I actually liked the story itself, and their performances were, you know, he was like kind of a sourpuss and kind of mopey, but, you know, his character had lost his wife.
Right.
You know what I mean? And she was kind of wooden, but again, there was a reason for that.
Right.
So, and all of, you know, that gets revealed, obviously, in the story at the end of the movie, or towards the very end of the movie. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. It was not a great movie. Right. And it was kind of slow, given the type of movie that it was. But there were definitely some enjoyable parts. I mean, we laughed at some things here and there, and I liked the plot twists and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't think it was as bad as everyone said it was. But wasn't it? Didn't they try to push it for an Oscar or something? And didn't
it was nominated for Best Picture at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
And it was the running joke through the whole Golden Globes. Yeah,
that's just ridiculous. It should never have been nominated for Best Picture for any award right. ceremony, except Best Picture Name the Tourist. Maybe. So that's it. That's all I have for what I've seen. But that's good. I saw three movies since the last time we did this. You want to go into miscellaneous?
Yes. Let's start with the piece of garbage we watched right before.
Tony made me watch the trailer for the remake of Footloose.
Yes.
It looks terrible.
Terrible. Dennis Quaid, what are you thinking?
Here's the thing. If you go back and you watch the original movie, it was already a stretch making that movie when it was made.
Right.
Which was early 80s?
Mid-80s.
Mid-80s. But you could kind of buy it. There was really no internet. Right. There was really no cell phone use. There was no everybody has access to everything. So there were still plenty of like small towns where people lived small town lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that doesn't exist anymore, but it's different now because everyone has access to all this stuff.
Right.
And so it was definitely within the realm of possibility that there was this sort of backwards little town that was had a very religious sort of patriarchy running it that didn't want any shenanigans going on in the town. Okay? I could totally buy that, even at that time. Nowadays, I don't think so.
Right.
And first of all, I mean, this the opening scenes of this trailer is like a scene out of the XXX version of Dirty Dancing. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, it was like, you know, it was very, a very sexy kind of dancing. It wasn't like just kids dancing.
XXX. Yeah, no, but that's how kids dance now. You're being a little prudish.
No, I don't think
so. My issue with it is, okay, they've remade the movie, but it's so close to the original. In fact, most of the dialogue in the trailer is from the original movie.
But it's a remake.
Don't remake it. Don't remake it if you're not going to put your own twist on it. Don't. That's like when they did shot-for-shot remake of Psycho. Why would you do that? There's no reason to do that. I mean, the reason you would remake it is to modernize it.
But Psycho is not a movie that kids are going to go see just because it's remade. Kids, I mean, look at all the stupid dance movies that have been made in the last decade. Bless you, Kelsey. Kids are going to go see this movie. High school kids are going to go see this movie. It's not the same kind of thing as with Psycho. It's a completely different kind of movie. This is a movie about young hotties dancing and making out and stuff. And kids are going to go see
it. I'm just saying from an artistic standpoint. I mean, why?
They don't care about that. They want to make money. They don't care about that at all.
They can do both. They can do both.
Right, but why would they make the effort to do both when they can just remake the original with new people and make a ton of money off of it?
Answering my question, there's no effort in this. Right. They just completely remade
a movie. Oh, I'm not defending it at all. I'm just saying it's a good business choice on their part. You know what I mean? I don't know. It just looks terrible.
Terrible.
The story isn't totally the same. I mean, there was no religious context, really. It was,
absolutely there was. John Lithgow was a preacher in the first one.
I'm talking about in the new one. That's not the reason dancing has been banished. It had nothing to do with religion.
That it's the same story.
It had nothing to do with religion. What are you talking about? It had to do with a car accident.
So did the first one.
But it wasn't the same. It didn't look like it was going to have that same vibe.
Well, I mean, they emphasized the car crash a little more in this one with the shot and everything. But that's the reason dancing was banned in the first one.
Yeah, because that makes so much sense. What if they had been on their way home from the grocery store? No more grocery shopping in town? I mean, it's just so stupid. It's so stupid. And the thing is in the first one, which again, I don't totally remember all the way, but the kids were kind of likable for the most part, weren't they? The kids didn't look likable in this movie.
Yeah.
They looked like they all had attitude problems.
Right.
Especially that girl. She looked terrible.
I like her though. Jonna Huff. I like her.
I don't know who that is.
But that's the kids of today. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about.
How many kids of today do you know?
I have nieces. We come. Hey, I just got off the phone with my niece. I just got off the phone with my niece because it was her birthday. And I asked, what are you doing today on your birthday?
How old is she?
She just turned 14. And she told me she was going to party down until 5 o'clock.
Right. And then it's lights out.
Whatever that means.
Then it's curfew time.
What was I just about to say?
I don't know.
Let's stop
we
talking
come from,
about
We come
photos.
From an era, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, like the era we grew up in was much more innocent than now.
Well, every previous era was more innocent.
Well, I mean,
than
that's
how it works.
That's why the kids in this movie aren't like the kids.
Except for the Greeks. They were crazy. I mean, they were crazy, those people.
And now they're broke. Okay, moving on. Universal has cast the roles of the seven dwarves for Snow White and the Huntsman. That's the one we talked about before.
Okay.
Here are the people playing the dwarves. Eddie Izzard, yep. Bob Hoskins,
yep.
Toby Jones,
yep.
Ray Winstone,
yep.
Ian McShane,
yep.
Eddie Marson.
Yep.
You know who that is?
Nope.
And Stephen Graham.
Yep. I don't know who any of these people are. I know Eddie Izzard.
I know
Bob
Hoskins.
I know...
You know Ray Winstone. You know Ian McShane.
I know Ian McShane. Wait, refresh my memory. Who's Ray Winstone? Just tell me something he played.
Okay, remember that CGI version of Beowulf they did?
Yeah.
But it was like exactly those people. Like, you know, he was the main guy. Wasn't he?
I thought there was Sean Bean.
Maybe not.
Wasn't it Sean Bean?
Hold on there.
I know that name.
He was just in something recently, too.
But I don't know what I know it from. I don't think I know Toby Jones either. What? Are there birds in here? Did you hear that?
Oh, no, I'm wrong. He wasn't the guy from...
Wasn't it Sean Bean?
It's this guy.
That's Ray Winston. Let me see.
Indiana Jones?
Let me see. Oh, his friend at the beginning who betrayed him.
Right.
That movie was so bad.
Speaking of...
Yes.
There was an interview with someone...
Where they confirm that Indy 5 is underway?
No, where they confirm that they have just finished remastering all the Indiana Jones movies. For Blu-ray. There's no release date set yet, but someone from the company has leaked that out in an interview.
Nice.
And so they're thinking probably spring of next year.
Nice. Oh. That will be something.
That will be awesome.
You know, I hope they put a lot of cool special features. I like special features. They're
I don't
so
know why
special.
They didn't, if they were able to get it done and like, they should have brought
why
it
not
up
release
now
it for Christmas?
With the like, or the, you know, now it's the, what is it, the 30 year since
81, yeah. Right.
Since the original Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have.
Good plan.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking.
Let's move on. Lost's Evangeline Lilly has joined the cast of The Hobbit.
She also has joined the cast of Real Steel. When we went to see X-Men First Class, there was a preview for the new Hugh Jackman movie called Real Steel, which I, until we saw the name of the movie at the end,
was Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I was sure it was going to be Rock'em Sock'em Robots. It's about this guy who works a robot boxer and this precocious kid of his, or somebody's, who forces him to build a robot from scratch and get it into the robot fight game. And Evangeline...
No, they find a robot and he forces him to train the robot.
Well, he tells him, find me the parts and I'll build a robot. And then the kid tells him to train it. Whatever. The point is, this 8-year-old kid is bossing around Hugh Jackman,
right,
who
exactly.
could hammer him into the ground with his bare fist.
And so then, like, the movie is like, it's like the Rocky.
And it's so, like, melodramatic.
But it's about a robot.
And there's, like, it's melodramatic. There's, like, Hugh Jackman crying. There's Evangeline Lilly. It looks like the worst movie ever made. It looks terrible.
It's terrible. And if I haven't had much. More disappointing things happened in the last 2 weeks. It would have been my worst entertainment moment.
Just seeing that preview?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's bad.
It was awful.
Rick McCallum of Lucasfilm recently stated that, oh, you'll love this. If the 3D conversion of The Phantom Menace is not a success in theaters, they will not proceed with the other films. So in other words, forget about seeing the original trilogy.
No, you know exactly why he did that. Because they want people to go see him and they know
That's
people hate.
That's not enough to get people to go see him. Why would you start with the worst movie? They should have started with the original trilogy.
They should have, but the problem is everyone would go see the original trilogy in 3D, and then they'd spend all the money to do the prequel trilogy, and nobody would go see it, and they'd be out all that money. So now what they're trying to do is get people to go
see
it. But
it's going to backfire. Okay, let me ask you a question. Are you going to go see The Phantom Menace so you can see the original trilogy in 3D?
No.
No one else
but
is
they,
either.
But they're so deluded over there. That's the whole problem. That's why the prequel trilogy was so terrible, is because they're all delusional. So they think this is a ploy and that they're actually going to...
That's going to be the only one they release. I'm saying no.
Oh, yeah.
Steven Spielberg is meeting with some writers for a fourth Jurassic Park film.
You mean not Terra Nova? Oh, no, that's his TV show.
This is interesting. Russell Crowe will portray Jor-El, Superman's father, in the upcoming film.
I can see that.
So you got Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
And then as the Kents, you've got Kevin Costner and Diane Lane.
Okay. And who's Superman? Do we know who Superman is?
He's some...
Unknown guy.
Not unknown. He's been in other stuff, but...
Little known.
Yeah. We'll see. He looks like a shorty in the...
Really?
Henry Cavill is his name.
Let me see. Oh, wait. How do I know that name?
He was in Stardust, The Tudors.
Let me see. The Tudors, T-O-O-T-E-R-S?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's Bryce Larkin.
What's that?
He was on Chuck. He was Chuck's college roommate who got him kicked out of college and stole his girlfriend and then was dating Sarah before Chuck fell in love with her. And he's also the star of White Collar.
No, he's not.
What are you talking about?
How come none of those things are in his...
Let me see that picture again. Am I looking at the wrong picture?
Well, that's the one playing Superman, and none of those things are listed in his filmography.
Oh, my God. He looks just like that guy. That's crazy.
That's crazy talk you're talking there.
He looks just like the dude from that played Bryce Larkin. That's so weird.
I'm guessing by all the things he's been in that he's British.
British. He was born in Jersey Channel Islands.
Sure.
Shows you how good our school system is. I have no idea where on the planet Earth that is.
There's no need to know that. Where was I here? The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is again changing the number of nominees in the Best Picture category for the Oscars. Now there can be anywhere from 5 to 10 nominees depending on the number of worthy films in that year. So the number of nominees won't be revealed until the nominees themselves are revealed.
What is the point of that?
Well, because I don't know why. The reason they changed it to 10 was because they felt like when you only have 5 and one of them is like, they were thinking that some movies were winning. Some movies weren't worthy enough to win, but the reason they won was because there weren't enough other good films in the category. I don't get the reasoning, but that was their reasoning.
That seems
But
dumb.
Now they're saying, because the last 2 years they've had 10, that... Some years, there aren't really 10 worthy movies to go up for Best Picture.
I see what you're saying. So
from now on, it'll be anywhere from 5 to 10.
Right. So they were worried that in next year's Oscars, they were going to have to include Transformers or something. They're like, oh my God, we got to change the rules.
Exactly.
Wow.
Warren Beatty has announced that he is working on a new Dick Tracy film.
I thought he was dead.
But I also read today that he is...
How's Ned Beatty doing?
Working on a...
Are they related?
No, he's Shirley MacLaine's brother.
Warren Beatty.
Yes.
Yeah. What about Ned Beatty?
I don't think so.
No.
I think we'd know that.
Yeah.
He's working on a Hugh Hefner biopic I read today.
Ned Beatty?
Warren Beatty.
Oh, okay.
And lastly, a new zombie film is in the works. World War Z, based on a book of the same name, will star Brad Pitt, Matthew Fox, and Ed Harris.
Thank you. Thank you for that. All right. That's all we got for movies. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
The moosh moosh.
An amazing new camera called Lytro records the light field of the scene you're shooting and then lets you modify focus, zoom, perspective, and more after the fact to get just the shot you were hoping to get. It's so cool. It basically records, it somehow records all of the light in a scene bouncing in every different direction off of everything that's in it so that you can modify all this stuff after and then end up with exactly what you want. And they have samples of like a picture of these two flowers where one's in the foreground, one's in the background. And one of them is in focus in one shot and one of them's in focus in the other shot. And they were both made from the same picture because all that information was in there. It's seriously one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And it's almost as cool as that thing in Blade Runner where he like took the photograph and like looked around the corner into the other room. Although I don't think you can do that.
No.
Probably not. Nokia's first Windows phone has been revealed. The C-Ray, as it's being called, is essentially the Nokia N9, but with Windows Phone 7 on it. So
really,
there you
they
go.
Didn't do much at all.
Well, here's the thing that I get a little confused about. When you're buying an Android phone or a Windows 7 phone or whatever, you know, you're probably going to buy based on things like who the carrier is.
Absolutely. And that's the number one thing,
right,
isn't it?
I would think so for a lot of people. And then, you know, beyond that, not so much obviously with the iPhone, but with the Android, you know, what specific features, like does it have 4G or whatever?
Right.
Why would you specifically, I want to get a Windows Phone 7, but only if Nokia makes one?
Right.
Like, why would you care? I don't get it.
Maybe you work for Nokia.
Maybe. But other than that, I don't know why you'd care. Google Chromebooks have hit store shelves, or at least store websites. Best Buy and Amazon both have versions by Acer and Samsung, ranging in price from $380 to $500. That sounds kind of expensive.
I don't know what this is.
A Chromebook is a netbook that runs Chrome. There's no operating system to do anything other than web-based stuff.
Ah.
So you can get online and do whatever you can do online, but it doesn't do anything else. So there you go. But $380
to
$500.
You could buy a laptop.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure I get that.
Yeah.
iOS 5 has been announced a couple weeks ago, and for anyone who's interested but hasn't read this yet, you are probably very sleepy or sick and have not reached over to grab
I'm
your
glad
computer.
You're not about to read that huge paragraph that followed that sentence.
You don't want me to tell people this stuff?
Nah.
Okay. All right. Go look it up. Is that what we're telling people?
Same with the next one, too.
Okay. And yeah, Mac OS X Lion has been announced. Well, this is actually more interesting, though.
Okay, go ahead.
And deserves talking about. Because basically what Apple is saying with OS X Lion is that they are pretty much doing with the Mac what I just described Google is doing with the Chromebook, is they're decentralizing the role of the PC. And OS X Lion is going to be much more of a cloud-based computing thing where they want everybody's stuff to exist on the cloud so that you can access it from your Mac, from your iPad, from your iPhone, whatever. Right? That's the gist of it?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Has everyone forgotten about what happened when Apple launched MobileMe? Those kind of things are still possible. This is the thing I don't get about cloud computing and why people are so excited about it. I understand the benefit, obviously, of being able to access any of your stuff from anywhere.
Right.
But what if that stuff is on a system that crashes? And what if the backup doesn't work?
Right.
That happens all the time in computer systems. Then all your stuff is permanently gone.
Unless you have made your own backups well.
Right, but if everything moves to cloud-based, there won't be any backups locally. That's the whole point, is they're saying they don't want anything to be local. They want everything to be cloud-based.
I think we're a far cry from them saying you can't do everything local.
It's Apple.
I still think
people will do whatever Apple tells them to do, I think, because usually they don't have a choice. Anyway, I just don't think that's a great idea, but that's just me. There's a rumor floating around that Lamborghini may produce an SUV based on the Porsche Cayenne platform. After spending hours drooling over the new Aventador already, I'm willing to give Lambo the benefit of the doubt, despite the fact that the last Lamborghini truck was probably one of the ugliest vehicles ever. Have you ever seen it?
No.
They had this truck called the LM002 and 004. LM002, LM004, you look that up. It is seriously a hideous monstrosity of a vehicle. It's so ugly. And go to images.
Yeah, that's ugly.
It's ugly. It was basically made for people who run desert military operations, mm-hmm. and half of the ones they made had a turret mount on the back so they could mount a machine gun.
Wow, that's the one you want.
Exactly. But some of the things that were cool about it were that it was specifically designed to deal with terrible hot desert conditions. So like even the tires had this special lip around the outside that if you were driving in sand, the sand would all get spit out away from the car instead of up into the undercarriage.
So reminds me, the other day I saw Lincoln Navigator, and it was for a celebrity, I think. It was parked in front of, like, just on the block where I work. And there were like guys, it may have even been like, you know, Secret Service for someone. But because there were all these guys in black suits and like all the windows were tinted and they were all black. But the guy had opened his door as I was walking by. He opened his door and the little ledge came out and went down so you could step on it.
Oh, so it must have been for some woman.
It's really cool.
Don't you think?
No, he was getting in the car.
The guy was getting. Yeah. Oh, I see.
I mean, he didn't do anything. He just opened the door and it did it automatically.
That's pretty funny.
It was very cool.
That's bling right there. An Australian guy named Chris Malloy has built a prototype hover bike that he claims will go 170 miles per hour and allow for flight up to 10,000 feet, all without a pilot's license.
Do you throw in Australia because that's just crazy? And
no, I mean, there's pictures of the thing. It actually looks like it. I mean, it looks like it would do something. I don't know if it would do what he says it'll do.
Yeah. The second people start have the access to those, you will need a pilot's license.
Or a pair of crutches. One of the two. A hacker group called LulzSec has taken down the CIA. Well, at least as of when we were going to do the podcast last week, it was still down like 12 hours later. That's so not cool that the CIA can be taken down by a bunch of, you know, hackers, like probably in their parents' basement.
You know what's funny is these hackers, they get busted and then they get hired.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To do the same thing, but to people we don't like.
Right.
More people are now using Tumblr for blogging than WordPress, with nearly 21 million Tumblr blogs out there. That is a lot of blogs.
Means nothing.
What?
Means nothing.
Means nothing? What?
Who cares about that?
You don't know what blogging is?
Yeah, I know it is.
You don't know what 21 million is?
I don't need to know that much behind the scenes.
Okay. But yet you'll talk about how much money a movie makes. Like that has any bearing on anything.
Did I talk about that?
No, but you have.
Talked about how much Donald Trump made.
Yeah.
Because it's nonsense.
It is. It's nonsense. Does that show take place in Australia? Because that's crazy talk to. Etensil is a sort of Swiss Army knife for your culinary
now we're
devouring
talking.
Endeavors. It's sort of like a Swiss Army knife, but includes a fork, knife, spoon, chopsticks, toothpick, pizza cutter, and bottle opener. Unfortunately, it is just a concept at this point. That would be cool, though. I'd carry one of those. I'd stick
one of those
in my glove compartment.
No, you would not.
Hey, I have one of those forks that extends out so that you can steal people's food from across the table. Everybody should have one of those. The Consumer Electronics Association wants the free over-the-air spectrum of the TV band to be auctioned off, citing that only 8% of people get their TV that way anyway. Don't you think those 8% of people would be kind of mad?
They don't matter.
I mean, that's almost, isn't that like 25 million people that are then going to be without TV if they do that? Yeah. Right? We got like 300 million people in this country. That's 25 million people.
Uh-huh.
Ish. Right?
Yeah. Go on.
What is your problem?
That doesn't mean anything.
You don't care about that?
No.
You think it's fine that there's no such thing as free over-the-air TV anymore?
I have cable.
Oh, my God. You are an elitist.
Well, I mean, here in Illinois, we don't have over-the-air. You have to have that box. My mother has that box to get.
Huh? That's because she doesn't have an HDTV.
Right.
What they're saying is no more free transmission of television. Like, you can't just turn on channel 2.
Oh, that's what they're saying?
Yes.
Oh,
that's what that means.
That.
See, when people pay attention to the podcast, it suddenly means a lot more. I'm just saying. Petra Ecclestone, the daughter of Formula One management CEO Bernie Ecclestone, has just purchased the most expensive home in the United States, Aaron Spelling's former mansion in Holmby Hills. You know where Holmby Hills is? You used to live out that way, right?
It's right there.
Right. Is it right in LA?
Yeah.
Okay. The house was listed at $150 million, and Petra's first offer was $75 million, but there's no word on what she actually paid for it. The home is 57,000 square feet and includes, among many other features, a bowling alley, salon, and a 100-car garage.
Oh, 100 not just cars? That. I mean, there's like a movie theater that seats, you know, like a movie theater.
Like 100 people kind of thing.
There is a gift wrapping room.
I'd have one of those if I had the space.
And
it's 57,000 feet, but there's only one bedroom, which is weird.
Candy Spelling is now moving to a condo,
right?
That is like 20,000 square feet.
Yeah. I think it was more than. Yeah, I think maybe you're right. I think it's 20,000 square feet. That's ridiculous.
She's a monster.
Is she?
Yeah.
She horrible?
Absolutely horrible.
Were they married for a long time?
Oh yeah, the whole time.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
The whole time they were married. China is building the world's largest radio telescope called FAST. That's 500 meters or 1,600-ish feet across. It'll be much more sensitive and much faster at processing what it sees than Arecibo, which is currently the largest radio telescope in Puerto Rico. And that's cool because that means the Chinese people are going to discover aliens before we do. But not good for us, good for them. Facebook is working on an HTML5 version of its site that'll allow you to run all sorts of time-wasting and privacy-leeching apps onto your iDevice without having to go through the App Store. So that's actually kind of a big deal if they do that, because that means they're literally going to circumvent the App Store on any iDevice, and Apple is probably not going to be too happy about that, but there's nothing they can do about it.
Really? There's nothing they can do about it?
No. What can they do about it?
I don't know.
Steve Jobs keeps saying how everything should be HTML5. Everything should be HTML5. Well, if Facebook goes HTML5, What are they going to do? Block it? You going to block Facebook?
That's a good point.
If you would like to help save SETI's telescope array, you can contribute by going to SETIstars.org and making a donation. They need to raise $200,000 to keep the array going, and they've got about $30,000 already. So that's pretty good.
I don't know what any of this means.
SETI is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and they had their funding pulled. It is not a waste of time.
Waste of time.
You are a waste,
and a waste of
time.
Of money.
There's a rumor that within a week... Oh, never mind.
Here's an old item. No, read it.
Apple could release an unlocked version of the iPhone 4. Is anyone buying that?
No, it's like $600.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And if you, there's only like two networks you can use it on.
AT&T and Verizon?
No. It's like T-Mobile. But you cannot get 3G or 4G on it.
What?
Right. Why would you want it?
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
I know.
Okay. Regarding the iPhone 5, the latest rumors include that the iPhone 5 is almost ready, will be 4G, will drop the SIM card, will have a dual-core CPU, an 8-megapixel camera, a panoramic camera mode, will have a strange, super skinny profile that may be asymmetrical from top to bottom.
Ah.
The screen will be edge-to-edge and possibly even
this
curved.
This is all speculation.
That's why I called it a rumor. Finally, paleontologist Jack Horner is working on regressing chicken DNA to hopefully produce chickens that retain some of their dinosaur ancestor features, like hands, tails, teeth, and more. As we all know, birds and crocodiles are the last remnants of the animal line that dinosaurs belong to, and since nobody's yet found any actual dinosaur DNA with which to make new dinosaur clones, Horner figured, well, why not just regress the part of the DNA that prohibits the dinosaur components from coming through? They have already produced a chicken with teeth based on this type of work.
That's nuts.
Which is the first step. Could you imagine if they actually get a real dinosaur out of chickens? That would be the weirdest thing. But I wonder why they chose chickens instead of crocodiles. I mean, I would think crocodiles would be a little bit closer still because they still are lizardy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. So that brings us to the point in the show, as always, where we reveal our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Please, Tony. Give us your worst.
I don't really have two worsts. I have one worst because you can only have one worst. But I do want to mention two things. One, I'm really mad right now at either Netflix or Sony. I don't know which one it is. But
you could be mad at both of them if you want.
Thank you. Netflix has changed their layout on the PS3.
Okay.
And so it seems that my selection is much smaller.
So now when I go into dramas, saying is your PS3 can do most things, but not anything.
Netflix is preventing it from doing the things it was
Maybe
doing
it's
before.
Sony.
No, I think it's Netflix.
Okay.
For example, before I would go into dramas and then you would pick a subgenre of dramas and then you go into that subgenre and there would be 250 choices. Now there's just dramas with 75 choices.
That's not a lot of choices.
It's the worst.
Well, you know.
But that's not even my worst thing.
Oh.
I just mentioned that flippantly. Well, just
put it out there.
Right. Exactly.
Not even the worst.
My worst thing. Remember when the iSpot came out about a year ago and it was Clear's little thing that was just for Wi-Fi hotspot.
And you got one, right?
Just for, yeah, got it. And I got it the introductory price for like $29 for the unit.
It was you loved be 99. It. Talked about it on the show.
It's contract free, so you can turn off anytime you want. It's $25 a month. Only supposed to work with iPad and iPhone, although it does work on my MacBook for whatever reason. But then, if you remember, a few months later, they discontinued it because people were hacking it and using it for everything.
Okay.
And so they were mad. They discontinued it. Well, I had been using it. I keep it at work because there's no signal at work. So, I'm able to surf the internet at work, which I'm sure is exactly what they want me to do when I'm at work.
Right.
So for that, it was worth it.
Hello,
but it's
all of Tony's bosses who are listening right now.
They're not listening. but I don't know if it's worth $25 a month.
Right.
But I always thought in my head, well, because originally.
But since you're also taking $25 a month out of the cash register without anyone knowing,
no.
It's kind of a moot point.
No, but it also worked with my iPad. At times, I would go somewhere and bring that in my iPad and I had the internet anywhere. I loved it. But since they discontinued it, they haven't had a new update for it since January.
Okay.
And let's keep in mind that it knows what devices to use it with by their MAC addresses.
Right.
So by not updating it, anything new that's come out, it's not compatible with, including the new iPad.
That actually doesn't make any sense. That's not what a MAC address does.
Well, whatever.
A MAC address, all it does, that's how it knows what's connected to it, but the protocols are the same. I mean, Wi-Fi is Wi-Fi. So it's not
No, but it, whenever there's something, I thought it was MAC address. I don't know. You know this more than I do. But I'm saying there are devices that can't be used with this thing. Like
it,
when you get
it
on
it. It creates a Wi-Fi hotspot?
Yes. And then when you get on, if it's a thing that a device that's not supposed to be used with it, all you get is this sorry message. It takes you to the Clear website. It says, sorry, this device is not supported by the iSpot. And with the latest update, which came way before the iPad 2 came out, I can't use the iPad 2 on the iSpot. So now I have this little white piece of plastic that only works for my phone, but I'm not going to pay $25 a month for that.
Wait a second. So it was never designed to work with anything other
than... Just the iPad and the iPhone.
That's really weird.
So anything, like if you, with that laptop, yeah, you could get on the network, but all you'd get is this screen from Clear that says, sorry, this device isn't connected, and you couldn't do anything
else. That's so weird.
I thought it was reading the MAC addresses by knowing
what... Well, the MAC address is just what, how it knows what device it's talking to.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So,
but the MAC address doesn't say I'm an iPad or an iPhone. It's just, it's like an IP address.
But there's something in that address where it knows if it's an iPad or an iPhone.
Oh, they're probably doing something else. They're probably doing some other kind of handshake that's telling them what it is.
My point is,
yeah, you can't use your iPad
doesn't
too.
Work on the iSpot,
well,
which
sucks.
I'm still paying $25 a month for.
Have you researched if there's a way to get around that?
Yes, there is a hack to make it work with everything.
Yeah.
But when I look over the steps of doing it,
you get scared.
Yeah.
I figured.
Looks too hard.
Bring it in here. I'll take care of it.
Will you?
I don't know. It depends on what the steps are. I mean, I'd have to see what it is. It doesn't involve soldering or anything, does it?
No, it has nothing to do with the unit. It's just like you go into because, you know, I
you
can connect
like
it to
the
my
admin
computer
or something.
Yeah, you go into their latest update and you change some lines of code.
Oh, I can do that.
And then you just update the iSpot and then it'll work with everything.
I can do that.
Yeah?
It's no problem.
And that was the reason they discontinued it, because it was really easy, well,
to get around
for
it.
Some right. to do that.
Right.
So well, that's what everyone was doing.
You should definitely do that then.
And what's funny, because they discontinued it, I've had people ask me like, hey, you want to sell it to me? You want to sell it to me? Because they must
right.
know how to do that. I went on eBay to see how much they're going for. $200, $300.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, if I ever decide I don't want anymore, I could just, you know.
Yeah, bring it in. I'll do it.
Okay.
Just bring the instructions, too. For my worst entertainment moment of the week, it has been a month now, and there's still no new Doctor Who on demand on Comcast.
Doctor Who.
What is going on with that?
But isn't the show on?
Yes, but it's not in HD.
Oh.
Because BBC America is not in HD on Comcast, but the on-demand shows are in HD, which makes
no
sense.
That's so weird.
And here's the other weird part. The show is available in standard definition and on demand, but they're 4 weeks behind right now for the HD version. So we haven't seen it in a month.
That's so weird.
It's so weird. I don't know why they don't just carry
the channel.
And you
don't love it so much that you just watch it in standard?
It really bothers me. It looks so terrible.
Yeah.
It looks so terrible. I'd rather just wait and watch the DVDs or Blu-ray, to be honest.
Right.
Because I don't need to see it right now. I just want to enjoy it while I'm watching it.
Right.
And I don't want to be constantly aware of the fact that I'm watching something in crapovision.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially when it flashes crapovision.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Subliminally. And then all you can think about while you're sleeping is crapovision.
Right.
Yeah. I don't like that. All right. So what about your best?
I'm going to go with the three video games I talked about.
Yeah.
My three Housemarque, which is the developer video games. I've had a lot of fun with them. They're just like arcade style, like, you know, nothing heavy.
I understand.
I can pick them up, put them down
play them for
I
a few minutes.
But
bada bing, bada bang, you're done.
Especially Super Stardust HD.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've had so much fun with
it. Is that
it.
PS, I sit down and play. PS3 only?
I don't think so. I think it's on Xbox 2.
Oh, really?
I don't know that for sure.
Oh, see, now it's just
all
about the lies.
You're right.
About the lies. Well, for my best entertainment moment of the week, there's absolutely no question. It's Super 8.
Oh,
I just love that movie so much. I can't wait to see it again.
You know what's going to happen, though.
No. You mean in the movie?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's pretty much the case for any movie I've already seen. But I just enjoyed it so much. And again, if you are nostalgic like me for movies of yore, and when I say yore, I mean your childhood, and not like, you know, the 1800s, then I think you will also really enjoy this film.
Yes. By the way, Super Stardust only on PS3.
Oh, my God. Damn you, Housemarque.
Spelled Marque.
Really?
Yeah.
Housemarque. Basically. You got anything else?
No.
All right. Well, thank you to two people who sent us messages. Keep them coming. preferably from.
But we
more
still
of
get
you.
The stats. We know you're still listening.
Yeah, we know you're still listening. Yeah. You know who you are, and we thank you for that.
Yes.
And you know, but seriously, write us. Go to pause.com. You can listen directly from there, or you can subscribe on iTunes to the podcast. Don't forget to visit us on Facebook.
Don't forget
to
do that, please.
No, you can leave us messages. Please. And I think we're at the point now where we're going to go back to our original request for even, you know, emails having to do with life lessons and things like that. Just try not to make them as deep as some of the ones we got originally. And as always, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Yes, that was Tony's cue and he missed it. You want to try that again?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.